for tuning in to episode 221 of the Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. Today is May 28, 2013, and I am one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy. Joining us this week, we have a full cast. Mike Chin, back from Italy.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Oh, mi scusi. Did you meet any freaks in the train?
No, I did. Oh. I did meet Mario and Luigi, though.
Nice.
I met a guy called Mario.
When you met him, did he say, "It's a me, Mario"? No.
No, he just went, "What do you want to drink?"
In a surprisingly British accent for an Italian fella.
Yeah, very good English.
Come ni sta, Tini? Come ni sta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So for our listeners, we also have Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Yes, that would be me throwing the racial slurs towards every Italian listener that we have. I apologize. Mia culpa.
Stati zitto, Nuburg.
And straight out of...
Straight out of Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Yeah, Richard Primrose.
Hey, man.
Oh, well, good to have you guys.
I made a video
here
about my holiday trip.
I made a game.
Yeah.
Does it include any naked pictures?
No.
Hmm.
I am in the swimming pool at one point.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Tell us real quickly. Venice flooding.
Yes.
Is there a story behind that?
Yes, Venice flooded when I was there.
All of Venice.
The whole thing. No. So I went on the Monday, and then I went on the Thursday. On the Thursday night, we was eating by the Grand Canal, a restaurant
nice.
Right next to the Grand Canal, and the water started to come up.
Now, was this before or after you were getting ready to propose?
This is funny, isn't it? You're a funny guy. So the Grand Canal was coming up, and, you know, water was touching our feet. And it was like, ew, we don't want to get wet. So we moved our tables away from the canal and further away. And it was like, yeah, and it still was coming up, still was rising. And anyway, we finished the meal and we had like 15 minutes to get back to the boat. And we didn't know Venice terribly well. So we tried to get back to the boat and we had to go through St. Mark's Square. And St. Mark's Square is the lowest point of Venice. Which meant that it was flooded to fuck. And there is no way we was getting through that without getting wet. So, you know, we just kind of walked through and got wet. It was fun. It was fun in the end. As I said, there's a video of me standing in this flood. Yeah. So.
All right. I'm assuming that's up on like your YouTube channel, something like that.
It is on my YouTube channel. I don't know how you get to my YouTube channel, but
all right, well, figure it out, listeners. You can figure it out.
Maybe I'll post it on Veteran Games or something, just for a laugh.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's just dive into what we've been playing, Mike. I'm assuming you didn't have a lot of time to play games.
No, I didn't. But I have been playing games today.
Okay, so you're making up for some lost time.
Yeah, they're mostly demos.
Okay, well, still counts.
All of them are arcade games, actually.
Again, still counts. Not the worst thing in the world.
Enjoy that while you can, Mike.
Why?
Nothing. I'm just being antagonistic.
This will come probably more clear as the podcast goes on.
I don't know what's going on.
Welcome to Back to the Podcast, Mike.
Yes. So I did listen to last week's show, by the way, and the first time I heard about the news, I was in the hotel lobby, and Greg, I got a text from you saying the new Xbox is called the Xbox One, to which I immediately went, what a stupid fucking name that is. But then you went into details and stuff. And then I listened to the episode where you was all commenting it off. But you all did a very good job. And it was interesting just to hear your reactions. And it was very funny to hear Primrose being slightly behind. It's always amusing. So, yeah, you know, that was good. What was I talking about? Yeah, anyway.
Games.
Xbox Live Arcade games. I'll start with the bad.
Okay.
Way of the Dog.
Way of the Dog.
Way of the Dog.
Okay. I looked up on your notes for a second, and I thought it said Way of the Doff.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Yeah. Dog. Yeah. I wasn't really expecting much from that game, Mike.
No, neither was I. But I was expecting at least a game. So there is a similar game to this called Elite Beat Agents. Do we know what that game is?
Yes. Isn't that a rhythm-based kind of...
It's a rhythm-based game where you tap the screen with your stylus on the DS to solve people's problems, like a person's bear being stolen or somebody can't win a football game. You have to dance your way to victory. A very camp Japanese game, however, very fun. All right, so there is something to this gameplay. Way of the Dog is similar, where you have to tap and move and all this shit, and a fight goes on in the background, which you have no control over. But the notes. Do you want to see that? I've written two little bullet points. Do you want to hear them?
Well, first let me ask this quick question. So you're saying that there's a fight going on in the background. You don't have any control over it. Does the rhythm control the fight, or is it literally there's no control?
There's no control. But it is in, like, you know, like you do a combo and then if you pull it off, it'll... It's not one-to-one. It's not like a fighting game. It's not a Street Fighter.
Okay, okay.
But, like, if you pull off the combination of hits, it'll do the... You'll successfully, like, do a bit of a combo or something.
Could it be we're talking too much about this game? Let's just hear your notes.
My notes are Out of Sync, which is a bit of a fucker for a music rhythm game.
Yeah, kind of important.
Cheap. Here's my second note. Cheap as fuck. I could see how poor the graphics were pixely and stretched, and that was cheap.
Move on. Let's talk about something more positive. Okay. Mike, give us something more positive.
Crash Course 2, Doritos the Thing.
Yes. Amazingly, I thought, you know, the first game was just a one-off gimmicky kind of fun thing, but they came out with a second.
Yeah, so this is like Wipeout, pretty much.
Yeah.
So people who've played the first one, pretty much the same thing. It's I've put down here, it's fun.
Right.
Plenty of fun to be had. There's lots there in this one. Like a true sequel, they've really have kind of put on a lot of more extra features. Like there's like a split path thing that you can unlock where it unlocks extra platforms, which I thought was cool.
Right. And a lot of different varied locations, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like ghosting. So instead of just like a marker, you could see the ghost of your friends. And their score, pretty much, it's like Trials, the way it does it. And a few more extra things in terms of like what you can unlock and so on. It did look like there's going to be in-game purchases, though. I don't know if that's right. Do you know, Greg, if there was in-game purchases? It looked like there was.
I'm not aware of any, but it wouldn't shock me, being that the game was released free-to-play. Yeah. So it was free for everybody. And again, that may have changed as well, because I know they said it was going to be free for like the first week, and now there may be, you know, a cost associated with it. But yeah, in-game purchases for like costumes, I think, is basically what you could do.
Okay. I've also written down too much UI. There's too much interface, user interface going on. Like, it seems too crowded, whereas the first one was very simple. You know, this course. There's like too much going on the screen to get in the menu. And I felt like I got a bit lost. I didn't really know where I was going. And also, it's not, the leaderboards, I just couldn't find my friend's leaderboards and times as easily.
Yeah, I remember finding that rather difficult because I was trying to figure out what everybody else's times were.
Yeah, I wanted
on
to see where I was. You know, you go into Geometry Wars and Trials, and you go, look, it prioritizes. Your friends list's leadable, because that's what you care about. But in this one, it was like...
You had to go all the way back out to the main menu to do it.
There you go.
It was just... Yeah, it was stupid.
So it was stupid. So that's that game. And then to kind of a surprising game that I didn't think I would like... Oh, yeah, so there's another game. Oh, yeah, another game. Monaco?
Oh, Monaco, yeah.
I played this.
This is a top-down... class-based bank robbing game. And it's very stylized. By stylized, I mean just blocks. but it's a style, I guess.
Stylized like Minecraft is stylized?
Yeah, I suppose.
Has its own unique look because it's so basic.
Yeah. But it's top down. It is like Gauntlet. Stu was explaining it to me and he said Gauntlet, and it does remind me of Gauntlet, where it's completely top down and you get like a field of view. So anything that that little player that you can trial in can see, you can see. So it has some cool effects. Kind of like Mark of the Ninja, you can only see what's in front of you. So the idea behind this is you have to escape from jail and rob stuff, and it's fun. It seems like they put gameplay first, and they literally have with the graphics, because the graphics are just blocks. But it's almost a twin stick shooter, but it's a little bit deeper than that, because you can unlock stuff. You have to sneak around guards, it's like a four player co-op thing, so each one has their own class. And the lockpick guy can unlock picks, master of unlocking quicker. Another dude can see enemies behind walls and all sorts of things. And it reminded me of GTA a little bit when it gets into the combat, because when you start shooting people and stuff, it is a little bit like GTA. And it's got a lot of charm about it. When you kill somebody, they turn into a skeleton, which I thought was cute. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it.
Rich, you want to chime in on Monica since you guys both played it?
Yeah, I would say that I enjoyed it. I think it probably needs trying out with the cooperative side of things. I would recommend highly, and I spoke about this one a few months back, if you do like this game and the top-down style of it, and you want something that's more geared towards single player, Dynamite Jack on the iPad was a great game, and it had a lot of production put into it as well. I think it was quite a high-budget game for an iPad game. So, yeah, it's got a very similar feel to it. So, yeah. Try that one as well. If you know you're not going to play it co-op, because there might not be the people you know that are playing it, then check out Dynamite Jack as well. Yeah.
Is that available for?
I think you might be able to play it on the phone. I'm not sure. I just bought it for the iPad, so I'm not sure if it's one of them universal ones. But
check in there. No results for Dynamite Jack.
No, it must just be iPad then.
Screw that then. Next game. It's a surprising one that I didn't think I would. Well, I played them all. Call of Juarez Gunslinger. I played every Call of Juarez game, believe it or not.
I played this one as well.
Yeah. And what did you think of it, Primrose? Because I've been talking too much.
I liked it because I thought it was one of these new breeds of. It feels like a highly polished game for Xbox Live Arcade. But it was. When you get down to it, it looked really good, but it just seemed like, you know, you're going down an alleyway, you shoot some blokes, you know, you've got like the shooting gallery, the level.
Can I real quickly ask Rich, can you give us kind of like an overview of what the game is? Cause, you know, I remember Call of Juarez, but I remember Call of Juarez, the cartel.
I think it's
set modern times.
Because I've not played any of the other games, so Mike's probably more informed on that. So.
Okay, right. So Call of Juarez 1. Was a game where you used this preacher guy and this Indian guy. Call of Juarez 2 was where you used the two brothers. Call of Juarez 3 was the cartel, where it was in modern day. And Gunslinger is the first to be an arcade game. It's back in the Western type of, in the Western setting, which everybody likes. However, they've changed a lot of things. So it's a first-person shooter. But which is, you know, still the case for this. But they've gone for like a shell shaded look, some more Borderlands look with it.
Okay.
Another new thing about it is that it's told in a in in you know Gears of War Judgment, where it starts off and it's like flashbacks. It's told in flashbacks.
Right, right.
It's told like that. So your character walks into a bar and everybody knows who he is. He's like, oh, you're that guy. I've heard so many legends about you. And he sits down and starts talking to the people in the bar about stories to where he met Billy the Kid. And it's the first time that they've told the story like that. And it's also the first time that they've referenced popular kind of characters in Westerns like Billy the Kid, like Jesse James, all this stuff. So they're using those kind of characters in the game. So Borderlands style, Call of Duty kind of XP system as well in it there. So when you shoot,
okay.
and it's a bit of Borderlands, a bit of Call of Duty multiplayer. So the same way in Call of Duty, you get a long shot and you get extra XP for it.
Now, is this strictly single player? Is it multiplayer?
It's just single player. It's just so what's happening is you're playing a flashback of this guy's story in the bar, and the people in the bar, like the prostitute that's in there, the young kid, the bartender, they're all talking to the person while the person's telling the story while you're playing the game.
Okay.
All right. So you're walking through, and because I remember walking through, and there was loads of these guys. He says, luckily, these guys couldn't shoot for shit and everything, and you often wondered where they got all their ammo from. So it's a little bit of humor there. So it's a bit like Bastion, how it narrates over itself. And like a cool thing that happened was, at the end, the kid in the bar says, "Oh, I heard that you met the sheriff and you gunned him down in a duel."
Yeah, that was right? Cool.
So what you have to do, you have to gun him down in a duel, but then the guy who's telling the story says, actually, that's not what happened, and he rewinds the whole thing that you've just done and tells you it actually happened.
That was cool as well. Cool. Visually, it was cool.
That is cool.
And I wrote this down, like, great end to a demo. So what happens, like, the kid thought that you got into a duel and you killed him. However, what he says is you walk into the bar and he knocks you out. All right. And the kid says, oh, and then what happened? And then the screen comes up as saying, like, end of demo. And it'll say,
I like that.
Well, I need a bit more liquor in me to tell you the rest of it. So it's like you need to pay me basically to tell you the rest of it. And I thought it was a wicked ending to the demo. And I was like, wow, that's, and he says, that's just the beginning. I need more liquor. So I thought that was brilliant, and there's definitely something about this one that I think people will enjoy. Presentation is way better. The menus, the cutscenes are like illustrations. Even when Borderlands introduces a character, you know when Borderlands introduces a character,
right,
and it'll do the kind of three shots of that person and writing a
right,
jumping,
right.
It does
almost
all
like
that.
A comic book.
Yeah, it does all of that. So it's great. It's 1,200 Microsoft points. I'm very, very, very tempted to get it. I thought it was a good show. How long it is will affect my opinion of it in the end, and how different the levels are. I looked at the video they play when they finished the demo, and it looked all right. It looked like there's a bit of variation, but you know, I think I'd want to hear a few people talk about it who's bought the game before I start buying it. But yeah, I was shocked at how good it was, especially going from the back of it. Doesn't look good, does it, on paper, where Call of Juarez the Cartel doesn't sell very well, doesn't review very well,
right?
And the next game is an Xbox Live Arcade game, and you just think,
yeah,
oh shit, you know, they're going down the I Am Alive kind of route, where it's just not looking good. But it looks like they're going to bounce back from it. I mean, I would play a full retail game with a bit more depth for that. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Rich, were you also inclined to pick up, or did you pick it up?
I was a bit reluctant to pick up, purely because I'm a bit biased now because of all the crap that's been going off to do with Xbox, but we'll get onto that later. And then the other thing as well was like I say, it had a good way of throwing across the story, but to all intents and purposes, a lot of it seemed a bit too shooting gallery to me. Like, you would go down a path, you'd shoot, then you stop, then you start again.
Yeah, essentially the game is shooting people. You know?
Yeah, but it had isn't cool mechanics and stuff built in. It had
shooting people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Except the ones that aren't shooting people, which are stabbing people.
Yeah.
Portal's not. You don't kill anyone in Portal.
Doritos Crash Course.
Shoot portals.
Doritos Crash Course. No shooting involved.
Did you mention the fact that it's got the similarity to Deadeye as well, like off Redemption? You know,
I don't recall hearing that.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's got a cool mechanic where you can like click the right bumper and it slows down time and highlights all of the enemies, so you can do cool maneuvers by jumping off, say, a water barrel high up, freeze time, and then just be picking out your enemies and shoot them as you go down. You get multiple bonuses and stuff for chaining kills together and stuff. So
I also unlocked an upgrade where when I look down my iron sights, it slows down time a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of a cool mechanic.
Yeah.
I've seen that before, but I like that.
Yeah, they had nice little perk trees for different styles of play. So you could dual wield pistols, and then that had its own, upgrade system. And then you had the long shots, like your rifles and your pistols. But if you were more inclined to be picking people off from a distance, there were all sorts of perks for that. And then there was other ones for like close up and personal melee attacks, and you could get upgrades for that as well. So, yeah, it seems quite in depth. I just don't think I was going to part with 1,200 points for it just now.
Okay.
Takes a lot for me to buy an Xbox Live Arcade game. Mm. It has to be a standout, I think. But
there's only one really on the upcoming games I know of that I am fairly confident I'm buying. And that would be the upcoming zombie game, State of Decay.
Yeah, which there's a trailer being released today.
It looks like Dead Rising.
Does it? Well, that's not a good way to get me in, to be honest.
It's always looked a lot like GTA meets zombies.
It's DayZ, right? It's just DayZ with Call of Duty zombies and stuff in it.
I actually think it's more like GTA with zombies. I mean, you can get into any car in the town. You basically go around. You know, it's third person view. I don't know.
I was up for this. Everything I was hearing about it was brilliant, but I would have just loved it to have like a free roaming co-op type thing going off.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing missing from it, and it quite possibly could be because this is their arcade game. Because I know their plan ultimately, Rich, is to make a full-blown like MMO type game.
Mm.
Well, this was like
the people who are making State of Decay.
Yes, so this is kind of like the first step, and then I think what their plan is, they're going to make a much bigger game from this. So,
okay. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, pretty much. Mike, anything else?
More Halo Wars.
Yes.
Amusing thing I'll say about Halo Wars this week is, just before I came onto the show, I played a game, and he was top rank, and played him, beat him, right? Fucked him up. And then I heard over the, because I didn't have my headset on, but I heard it through the TV. He just went, I fucking hate it when people rush, man. It's fucking annoying. I was like, yeah. So that felt good.
You should play the way your opponent wants to play it, Mike.
Yeah, how dare I try and win the game?
Yes. That's the way all wars are fought, by the way. You listen to your opponent, you tailor your tactics to what they're expecting.
True. How dare you? I wasn't ready.
In fact, that was Germany's thing. They never rushed anybody. There was no such thing as the Blitzkrieg.
It's not fair, is it? They wasn't ready for Normandy. What was going on there?
All right, enough of that. Rich, we've already been talking about a couple of the games you played. Anything else on your hit list?
No, not really. No, that was just them two demos, really. Very unfortunate. I've been doing a lot of tiling this week. I've listened to a shitload of podcasts, but you don't want to hear about that.
No. Well, we can, maybe some shout-outs for some different podcasts.
Yeah,
I've
got a few of them, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, let's swing over to your neck of the woods.
I have been playing Of course, Skyrim.
Of course.
I have been playing.
I think that is almost like breathing for you at this point. They go hand in hand.
Pretty close. I had to start over Skyrim.
No.
Because I keep running into, I guess I'm doing it wrong, because I keep getting to about level 40, and all of a sudden there's this huge difficulty spike where I just suddenly can't complete anything. That's neither here nor there. I also played the Sanctum 2 demo. So after we did the first 10 video last week, I said, I'll give it a try. And so I gave it a whirl. It's not bad. Probably going to wait on it right now just because it wasn't amazing, something I felt like I had to play right this second. But it was definitely better than I remember the first one being, which I suppose is what you're supposed to do with a sequel.
It's usually the best course of action. Yes. I really enjoyed Sanctum 2. I thought that the ability to kind of lay down the path, so, you know, very much kind of like how Defense Grid, you set up pathways for the enemies and kind of block them off from certain routes and make them go in different directions. I really liked that. And then just the involvement of the first-person shooter, I thought, added a nice element to it. So.
Yeah. I didn't think the first one was all that cool, but the second one was good fun.
Okay. For me, it was a lot more XCOM. I'm playing on a classic Iron Man.
God, strategy games. He plays those great.
I know. It's crazy.
Hey, did you... the Bureau XCOM game? Is that coming out soon?
August.
All right.
I believe.
It's looking good.
Is it?
I'm kind of interested in it, yeah.
Why is it looking good?
Well, I think they... Sorry, Rich. Go ahead. Rich, you answer this. You came to me with this.
Everybody hated it when I last looked at it.
It's nothing like what you first saw. Think XCOM Enemy Unknown, but you're actually in the battle and you're playing it a bit like Mass Effect.
Yeah, I had more... Yeah, I say I definitely got a Mass Effect feel for it. I didn't see what the research tree was going to look like with it, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What makes it look Mass Effect?
It's the same kind of squad mechanic. You play sort of the squad leader, and you have two or three teammates that you can, move around the battlefield and use special powers and try to flank the enemy. It almost had a Ghost Recon type feel to it as well. Advanced Warfighter, that is.
Yeah, and you've got like the ability wheel type thing where you're, sending out your squad, and you've got a wheel that you can click through for your own weapons and what you're going to do in your next move and throwing grenades and stuff. So yeah, I like the look of it. It looks cool.
And it still incorporates permanent death. So your squad mates that are with you, they will level up and you'll outfit them as well. And so if they die, they die. And you're going to get stuck with a newbie on your squad. So there's some intriguing things they've done. Who knows?
I like the whole feel of it as well, how it's like 50s G-Men type feel to it. You know, gives it a bit of a atmosphere and stuff.
I'll say it's a different take. Being that XCOM is set in the future, it's so hard for me to look at this and think...
XCOM?
Yeah.
Yeah, but didn't you ever watch them films in the 50s, Greg, where it was like aliens invasions and stuff? So it's harkening me back to that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, but see, for me, I almost wish this wasn't labeled or branded XCOM, and it was just, a third-person alien.
If they didn't try to stick with the... I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're right there with you.
I agree.
Just purists.
It just seems more like a new IP than it seemed. It doesn't seem to be... It seems like a new IP, so let's make it a new IP. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and Chris, I totally agree. I think from the get-go, this probably was a new IP, and then they got the idea that maybe we should just brand this XCOM, and they tried to fit what they originally were doing into XCOM, and everybody said, no way. So then they went back to the drawing board. People still said, no way. And now, like, some of the traditional enemies you used to see in XCOM are back into the game now, and I believe the oil blob is gone, Mike. Wow. So people seem to be, now there's a little more positive buzz about the game. So But anyway, so aside from XCOM, Metro Last Light, played through it, finished it up just last night. This game was just a great game.
You finished it?
I finished it.
Yeah, you, Greg.
The single player, it's probably, I'd say between 8 to 10 hours. I mean, you could probably burn through it pretty quick. Graphically, the game looks great. It does have some hiccups here and there. You will see some screen tearing from time to time, especially if certain enemy types will charge in close on you. It is on the Xbox 360, the PS Triple, and the old PC.
You're playing it on the Sexbox.
Yes, I played it on the Sexbox. Did a first 10 look on it with Rich just yesterday, so that's up on the site.
Ah.
And this game, I think, just stops short probably now, having finished it up and kind of gotten all the way through it. It just stops short of being something that I actually probably would put up there at end of the year of potential game of the year.
Really?
It was really good, and I have to say I found myself enjoying myself far more than I did with BioShock.
Ooh, this.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, the environments, you want to talk about immersion. You feel like you are in this underground tunnel system. They do such a good job of just bringing it to life. Similar to BioShock, you have, random people in the city environments, in the little makeshift cities that they have underground in the metro and other areas. You'll hear conversations happening as you're walking by people, and they feel natural, like that conversation is happening whether or not you're next to them. So many games, like you hear the conversation get triggered when you're next to them, but here, like, you'll be, down the hallway and you'll hear a conversation going on, or multiple conversations going on, depending on which direction you go. They become a little bit louder as you get closer, and it feels so natural, in that environment. And what I liked was, there's in BioShock Infinite, one of the things that kind of always struck me as funny is throughout the city they have these vending machines dispensing bullets, dispensing, basically all these weapons and tonics for you to use and power yourself up. It doesn't fit. I'm sorry, it doesn't fit for a city. Metro Last Light, you don't have that. You do have a couple, like you'll be in this little war-torn little city, and there might be a vendor that's selling some wares, and you can upgrade your weapons through them. And they use bullets, basically, are military ammunition is money, in essence, yeah, in this game. I know in the first game that was kind of a complaint because you often had to dip into your money as bullets.
I played the first game, and it wasn't until the very end of the game that I actually used any of those military grade bullets to fire.
Yeah.
They had the shotgun thing that had the bayonet on it. That saved me a lot of bullets.
I can safely say in this game, you probably are not going to run into that situation, especially if you play it on normal. Normal felt like it wasn't overly taxing. There were plenty of bullets. About the only thing that became a little tense from time to time was your oxygen filters for your mask.
That was a problem in the first one, though, as well, right?
It was a problem in the first one, and I think the first one, I don't remember the complaint, and Chris, certainly you can probably shed some light on this. I know it was much more taxing, like you had to do it all the time, and I think in this game they've made the filters last a little longer.
Yeah, they didn't last very long, and also the biggest problem I had with the first one was maybe I'm just a noob, but I could never figure out when the mask filter, like I probably changed them more frequently than they needed to be changed.
Okay, that's what it was.
I didn't really know when they needed to be changed. Supposedly you were supposed to start breathing heavy and it would fog up, but I could never figure it out.
So in this game, what they've done is they've included a wristwatch, and this wristwatch is quite honestly one of the most handy things in the world. It has a timer on it that is set, so when you replace an oxygen mask, you reset your timer, and the timer will start beeping as you start running out of air on the oxygen and you have to replace the filter. Not only will it start beeping, but you physically can see on your wrist the timer countdown, so you'll see it reaching zero. And then also, as Chris alluded to, your breathing becomes labored and more heavy, and you start to gasp, and you really hear it. And you know, once you get to that point of it running out, you have maybe half a minute left to change it out. Included on that wristwatch is also the handy dandy "You're in the shadows or not in the shadows" light. This kind of breaks everything in some ways, but I thought it was actually pretty helpful for the gameplay mechanic itself. There's a little light that's blue. When it's blue, you're visible. You're out in light. When that light turns off, you're in the shadows, and you can't be seen.
So how does that work, then? How the hell does... That's a good watch.
It's a great watch.
So why doesn't that bother you, but ammo vendors in Bioshock does?
No. I'm not saying it doesn't bother me. I think that's one of the things that, to me, they could have gone a different route. It certainly doesn't break the game. I think the bigger issue is not so much that the watch tells you when you're in shadows or not in shadows. It's that when you're in shadows, you are in the shadows. And unless they shine a light on you or are really close to you, you are in the shadows. And so you can use that gauge and that the shadows really effectively. You can play this game completely stealthy. You are able to unscrew light bulbs, you know, kind of almost like Splinter Cell-ish, walking around in the shadows and taking people out from behind. The game also gives a kind of moral system. There are a few times in the game where you're given choices to kill or not kill, and sometimes it's not so obvious. There was a moment for me, I walked in on somebody, and No, there's one of those moments too, but I'll get to that in a second. I walked in on the guy, and you realize you caught, and he's an enemy soldier, and he's like on his bed reading a book, and I walk in and he's like, "Don't shoot, don't shoot. I won't do anything. I give up. And at that point, you have a choice. You can kill him. You could walk right past him. I instinctively killed the dude. I walked in, saw him, and I shot him. And
he was only reading a book, Greg.
Stone cold killer.
The irony of it all is that half a minute later, I dawned on me that I didn't need to kill him. And I actually felt kind of bad for having killed the guy.
Yeah. Dick.
Exactly. So, but it does present you with those kind of moments. I don't know that those have any outcome on the end game. As far as I know, they don't. But rather, they just are moments where you stop and think, and the game will sometimes make commentary on your choices.
Okay.
But it won't impact the end game. There was also one other moment, and this is probably the other questionable thing for me that was kind of like, I'm not sure it really needed to be in there. There is nudity in this game.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Their breast physics are in play.
I heard they're terrible. Two-dimensional.
I won't say they were two-dimensional. There was definitely a three-dimensionalness to it. But it is kind of comical how they play it up a little bit. And the moment in which the actual nudity comes into play, and, I want to talk about this because it was just funny. So it's a moment in which you're trying to be stealthy. You're listening in on something. And basically, somebody comes up to you because you're at a brothel strip bar area, and somebody comes up to you as you're trying to listen in on these guys and starts talking to you. You quickly take her aside. I shouldn't say somebody. It's a stripper. You take her aside, putting your hand over her mouth like, shh, I'm trying to listen. It was all very tense, and you get into it, and you're like, okay, this feels like this is – you see it in action movies all the time. Then the moment passes, and it's time for you to kind of – go out and follow. And at this point, the stripper tells you that she's here anytime you want, if you want a lap dance. And so at that point, you can completely stop what you're doing, which is supposedly trying to follow after somebody, and you can go sit down and have a lap dance.
Okay.
And you can feed the machine, if you will, and keep getting lap dances for pretty much as long as you want. And at first I thought there would be an achievement because she says something different. And you're like, oh, okay, there's going to be an achievement on this. Well, after about 7 lap dances, I gave up on it.
I only went because my mate went into it. That's like that.
Yeah, totally. I had to go. It was a stag do.
I completely felt dirty, so then I walked away. And then a little later on, they bring back the nudity in a little bit of a love interest, which the love interest to me, it's like a weird branch of the story that doesn't quite feel like it was given enough background to be legit. But anyway, that little tidbit aside, this game is great. It really is good. It is a shame that THQ wasn't able to get this game out while they were still in business. And ultimately, maybe this game would not have helped them. But man, it's a good game, and I highly recommend to anybody that is looking for a good first-person shooter, stealthy kind of game. It's not survival horror. It feels like it at times. It'll feel like Fear. There's definitely moments when you're playing through this game that you will have flashbacks to the early Fear games where you see things in the corners and you have a couple jump scares. But by and large, it's not about the survival horror aspect of it. It's more about being involved in basically a civil war between some different factions. And it's really good. So, yeah, that's it. All right, let's shift some gears. We're going to talk about some new releases.
Ba-doo.
Oh, crap. Before you move on, Greg.
Yes.
I'm going to make some editing for you. I was waiting for a breath in the conversation, then I got sucked into a discussion on the forum. Anyway, a question.
Yes.
If you'll recall, spoiler warning for Metro 2033, at the end of Metro 2033, you had the option to either launch the nukes and destroy the dark ones or not launch the nukes and not destroy the dark ones. Did that?
Okay, I know exactly where this is going, and let me just tell you, whatever you did, you destroyed the dark ones.
Okay, so that decision didn't matter.
That decision, yes.
All right, fair enough.
They start the game off from that perspective.
I mean, that's a minor annoyance. I think I will eventually play this game, maybe for $20, because it does sound. Everybody I've heard talk about it has said it's good, so yeah. I'll pick it up, Steam sale.
Just gonna say, Chris. From what I've heard, the PC version looks fantastic.
I'm sure it does.
I mean, the Xbox version did not look bad at all, but from what I understand, the PC version has a lot of bells and whistles to it. All right. Well, with that said, now we really will talk some new releases. All right. So out this week, we're mixing it up a little bit just because the normal place I get the new release information from hasn't posted up yet. So we're just all lumped together this week. Grid 2 gets released, so racing fans are going to be happy. Xbox 360, PC, and PS3. Wargame Air Land Battle. Mr. Matthew, this is a PC-only title.
Yeah, I played European Escalation, and I wasn't... So, no.
But this is Wargame Air Land Battle.
Yeah, no.
Maybe Crusader Kings 2, the Old Gods, might change your mind. That's on PC this week.
That, I'd have to play the first one. I read some reviews about the first one. It did sound kind of interesting, so maybe I'll check it out.
All right. Well, Fuse comes out this week. Xbox 360, PS3. This is Insomniac's first multi-platform game. Comes out this week. Reviews are middling, so definitely check out some reviews of your favorite review sites first before putting down the cash, I think. 99 Spirits is another PC-only title, along with The Swapper and Survivor Squad. Yeah, Survivor Squad. And just in case that wasn't enough, you've got Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded and The Night of the Rabbit. And let's not forget Trackmania 2 Stadium, all coming to the PC. PC getting a lot of love this week. Spartacus Legends comes out on Xbox 360 and PS3. Defenders of Suntoria, Dark Sun Rising, that's a PC, and I believe iPhone as well. There you go. And then you've got Denpa Men 2 Beyond the Waves for 3DS. So Nintendo finally getting a little love. Castle Storm comes out this week for Xbox 360. And Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy HD, I believe, for the iPhone, out this week. And that does it for new releases. All right, so new releases out of the way. It's time for a little game quiz, guys.
Oh.
Yeah, game quiz.
Oh.
It is going to be a little bit different this week in that we have 5 news questions, because there wasn't a whole lot of news, but a little bit of news we can talk about, and 4
Xbox
trivia
One.
Questions.
That's my answer.
It may not be right, Mike. Shit. It may not be right. I will tell you this. Mike, you are playing for @Gamox14 this week.
Gamox.
Mr. Matthew, you are playing for TPV John Mouse.
John Mouse. Maybe Gamox. Yes. Gamox has had some bad luck. He has been on here several times and has yet to win. So I'm rooting for Mike this week. Sorry, John.
Oh, God. This is all going to go terribly wrong.
And last but not least, Greasy Fish Lips. Mr. Primrose, you are representing the Fish Lips.
Oh, give me a smack-a-morty.
All right. For the news quiz, Mike, you are up first.
All right.
Mr. Matthew, you are second. And yeah. Rich, you are pulling up the rear.
Get ready for another week of disappointment, Gamox?
Probably. all right. So first news question coming to you, Mike.
Okay.
Blockbuster announced what news concerning the Xbox One pre-orders? They say A, they have decided not to take pre-orders on the console.
Hmm.
B, consumer pre-orders have been exceptionally low for a new console, even worse than the Wii U. Or C, it's amazingly set their pre-order record for all time.
First one.
Well, let's just see, Mike. Let's just see. Blockbuster has revealed that since its announcement last week, the Xbox One has broken all previous pre-order launches in Blockbuster's 24-year history.
And what fools are putting their money down with that company?
It's a good question.
I feel sorry for them.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I did some scouting out just to see if this was maybe a little bit of an anomaly because, one, Blockbuster in my area is virtually gone. We have, I think, 3 stores left in all of the Bay Area.
I know one Blockbuster's still around, but most of them are closed down.
On Amazon, because Amazon US is only taking wish lists right now, the Xbox One actually is the number one wish list item in the game section.
You know Marsh, my good friend, Marsh.
Yeah?
He's pre-ordered one.
Yeah? I was just going to say, in Germany, I checked out Germany Amazon, because that's where this originally got me thinking about all this. The PS2 and the Xbox One are basically, PS4 and Xbox One are 1 and 2 on their most pre-ordered. So outside of any other comments, apparently the Xbox One at least has hit some kind of mind share with consumer. All right, let's move on. Mike, I'm sorry you did not get that correct.
Sorry, Gamox.
That means, Chris, you are up next.
Yeah, what's up, John?
Yep. News question for you. Valve announced what regarding Counter-Strike Global Offensive this week? Is it A, a new way to investigate and ban players? B, they released a new development tool to allow mods to make maps that could be used on consoles? Or C, there's a new play mode, a new play mode, that's the French version of it, I guess, a new play mode called Runaway.
I'm going to go with, as hopeful as this is, wishful thinking, let's go with the mods on consoles.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this week Valve has introduced a new community discipline program for Counter-Strike Global Offensive, and it's called Overwatch. It's designed to let players govern themselves when it comes to problem behavior. Overwatch will deputize some players as investigators.
We got warrants.
Based on stats and wins and hours played. These players are then given a replay of a match from a reported player and asked to rule on whether the suspect was cheating, griefing, or if there's insufficient evidence to rule. Once a collective verdict is reached, Valve will determine if a ban is needed to be given. So there you go. Deputized. All right.
Damn, I'm terrible. Sorry, John. I'm fired.
Rich, you are up next.
Mm.
Lego Marvel. It's amazing how these all have actually kind of played right into some of your strengths here. PC games. Well, okay, maybe not for Mike. Rich. Yeah, Lego Marvel Super Heroes added two more characters to the list for the game releasing this fall. One of those characters is Venom. Who is the second? Is it A, the Human Torch, B, the Thing, or C, Deadpool?
I'd have to go for the big fella. But then again, would the big fella already be in? I'd go for the big fella.
All right. Well, Lego Marvel Super Heroes will feature Venom and the Human Torch when the game launches this fall for Xbox 360, PS3, PC, and Wii U, Vita, 3DS, basically everything under the sun. No, sorry, not the Thing.
I had a good Lego story with Sony today. Apparently they're forming some sort of partnership for integrating technical Lego so that you can use a joypad to control it. And then also that they reckon that might lead to some sort of form of partnership in Skylanders, where you go out and you buy a kit, and then that would affect a game and stuff. That'd be cool.
Hmm. That could be cool. That could be very cool. Mm. Speaking of cool, Mike.
Yep.
You are up next. Yeah. Mike, Peter Molyneux's curiosity, what's inside the cube, has finally been revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The center was revealed to one lucky Scotsman. What was at the center, Mike? Is it A free copy of the unannounced next Lionhead game coming at E3? B, free 22 can games for life? Or C, the winner gets a small cut of all sales from Goddess?
C.
Yes, indeed. You are mm-hmm. correct. Mm-hmm. No, basically, the winner, who is Brian Henderson of Edinburgh, Scotland, will also share in the success of the product.
And also get to make the rules of the game, I believe.
I believe so, yeah. Every time people spend money on Goddess, he will get a small piece of that pie.
0.0000001%.
Probably. But still, that's he called it a life-changing moment. And I guess you could say he lived up to that promise.
Really?
Well, getting royalties off a game for life. I mean, if Goddess takes off, that could be pretty life-changing.
I hope it's a good game. If I could choose any game, I would want it to be one of Peter Molyneux's games.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. All right, Mike, you got the question right. You have control.
Oh, yes.
There's one news question left.
Okay.
And four trivia questions. What are you going to give to Chris?
Trivia.
Okay. Trivia time. Chris, what was Insomniac Games' first game? Is it A, Disruptor, B, Spyro the Dragon, or C, Ratchet and Clank? Chris is probably just now coming back in on this as I'm saying this. So, Chris, you're getting a trivia question.
Oh, all right. My bad.
Oh, for God's sake, man.
Talk about impeccable timing.
I heard Spyro the Dragon.
Yeah, so your question, Chris, is what was Insomniac Games' first game they developed? Was it A, Disruptor, B, Spyro the Dragon, or C, Ratchet and Clank?
Spyro, Ratchet and Clank, or what?
Or Disruptor.
Or Disruptor. I've never even heard of Disruptor. How about Spyro the Dragon?
Insomniac Games was founded in 1994, and its initial game was a first-person shooter called Disruptor.
Damn for the you, Delici. Damn you.
You kind of had a little bit of a Norm sound there to that. I like that. All right. That means, Mr. Primrose, you're getting the last news question.
Oh, go on then.
I'm terrible. What's the score?
The score is Mike is one, the field, nothing. So, yeah, you and Rich has a chance here, though.
You're going down, Jenny.
All right, yeah. Rich. Amid concerns over privacy with regards to the Xbox One Always On Kinect, what did Microsoft reveal today? A, the camera can be switched off but still needs to be plugged in. B, you can actually unplug the camera and the console will function without. Or C, while the camera can't be turned off or unplugged, it's designed so you can turn it to face the wall.
No, it's the one where you can turn it off but it needs to stay plugged in.
You would be correct. Yes. Microsoft did, in fact, reveal, if you want privacy, we'll give you modes that ensures your privacy, and we actually have a little bit around that on the web already. We will have something similar for the Kinect with Xbox One. Anyway, this is actually coming off of the heels of, Rich, you brought this up to me, the Civil Liberties Australia director, Tim Vines, and I believe there was somebody in Germany as well, talking about the fact that the Microsoft camera was actually the definition of a surveillance camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were demanding that Microsoft come forward with basically what exactly they intend to do with that information. And so Microsoft has been complying, saying they are not actually recording anything when the camera is off, and that they merely have the words Xbox On coded in that's listening for it, so it will wake up the system when it hears that.
I think what I was reading from that German commissioner, it wasn't so much to do with when it was off. It was like to do with things about whether it was picking up and identifying things that were like around your room, and therefore could they gear that for what advertised was focused at you, and all sorts of weird and wonderful ideas. But, it is a valid line of questioning because you have got, privacy rights and stuff like that. So I think they just need to be very clear from the offset what they are doing with it. Disclaimers. No. Get your disclaimers out there, Microsoft. Tell us what you're doing.
Yes.
But we're not expecting them to go into that sort of detail yet, are we?
I'm sure Microsoft have a whole floor dedicated to fucking disclaimers and law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will definitely be getting into that for sure in just a little bit. But to answer your question, Rich, actually, I'm sure the internet absolutely wants all of those questions answered at this point. Mm. All right, Mike, you get a trivia question now. We are into all trivia, so here we go. Mike, what was Bungie's first game? Was it A, Operation Desert Storm, B, Minotaur the Labyrinths of Crete, or C, Marathon?
The second one.
Alex Seropian founded Bungie in 1991, Mike, and he did it to publish Operation Desert Storm.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's all right. I would have said Marathon, and I would have been wrong.
Yeah, I would have gone for Marathon. Well. Yeah.
Marathon's that's newer than 1991, I think.
Clearly.
Clearly.
I was playing a demo for it on the Mac in about 93, but they were always way behind the PC. It was about 93,
yeah, that's why Mac users are crying foul when Bungie went to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Sellouts!
I'm sorry, what?
All right. Chris,
Yes.
You get the next trivia question.
I do.
You get this right, you're still in the game for the potential tiebreaker. Yes. Chris, where was Ubisoft's first in-house game development based at? Was it A, Montreal, France, B, Shanghai, China, or C, Dusseldorf, Germany?
Montreal, France.
Wait, so is Montreal, Shanghai, what was the other one?
Or Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf. I'm going to go with Let's start with Montreal. I think, Montreal. I think that's wrong, but let's go with it.
So Ubisoft initiated its in-house game development program, which led to the 1994 opening of a studio in Montreal, France, which later became their headquarters.
Oh,
there you go.
I wasn't even listening to you. I thought you said Canada.
No. That's why Rich even said, he was like, wait, Montreal, France? Yeah, I had to do the double take too, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, same name cities in different countries. That's what you get for colonization.
Yay.
Spelled slightly different, though. All right, Rich, this is on you, man. Ooh. This is on you. If you get this, you win. If not, we go to a tiebreaker.
Ooh. Brilliant.
Rich.
Yes.
What was Epic's first game? Was it A, ZZT, B, Overkill, or C, Epic Pinball?
The only game I've heard of is that Overkill.
Is that your answer?
No, because it's going to be one of the poxy ones, like a fucking pinball game or something stupid like that. Just like Rockstar with the testing out the physics and everything. Oh, let's do a pinball game, see how ball moves.
That's what one of their meetings sounded like.
Let's do a pinball game.
What was the other game? The one that won the pinball game?
So there's ZZT, Overkill, or Epic Pinball?
ZZT. Right, because I've talked about the other two, it's going to be that one. So I'm going to go ZZT.
Rich, Epic Games was initially founded under the name of Potomac Computer Systems in 1991 by Tim Sweeney in Rockville, Maryland, releasing its flagship product, ZZT.
Yeah!
Well done. Because
every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed man.
Yes. Rich is dancing the jig.
Oh, that's best one ever. Love that.
That was a great news quiz. Well played. And, hey, congratulations, Greasy Fish Lips.
Come on, Marty! Don't spend it all at once.
Wait.
Yes, don't spend it all at once. Rich, you are going to get an opportunity, though.
Wait, what happened?
Rich just won.
How did Rich win? It was 1-0-0, and then Rich answered one question.
I got
this is what happens. It was tied.
Don't stop.
It was tied. Yeah. It was tied all the way across.
Okay.
So
if you say, so. Yeah. If you say so. When I came on, you said it was Mike with 1 point and me and Rich with zero. And then we had two more questions and then Rich won. That's some funky math. I'm good. I'm just saying that's some funky math. That's all.
That works, Duke.
I can go right back. I'll break it down if you want.
No, I believe you, Greg.
Right. Because Rich missed his first question. He got his second question, and then he got his third question.
Then you buggered off for 10 minutes, stopped paying attention, and then came back and moaned about it.
My bad. Whatever. Whatever.
All right. So for a bonus question, Rich, here is your question. In the original game Doritos Crash Course, do you have 4 achievements, 5 achievements, or 6 achievements?
Just let me wake my son up. Oh, no.
So, Rich, you got 30 seconds. I'm not letting you look this one up.
No, is it? This is based on, I think it's based on the Eras and stuff. So it was 4, 5, or 6.
Yes.
I'm gonna say, and there might be some multiplayer. 6.
I'm sorry, you're incorrect. You 4. Actually have 4.
Yes!
Anyway, all right, moving on. But congratulations, Fishlips. You're going to get 100 points. We will send that to you direct message style, so you'll have a code. Do with it as you must or will. And that does it for the news quiz, which means we're going to take our short break and come back and talk Xbox One with the community, with our thoughts. We've got a lot to talk about there, so we'll be back in a snap.
Sega's my favorite video game company of all time. They had so many classic games growing up as a kid. So many to name. But for the past couple years, it hasn't been feeling that way. I feel like it's been on decline. So I had to write this little letter. Hopefully Sega listens to me. Sega, comma. Let me start by saying that I don't want no drama. But lately you've been dry like saunas. It's time for a very big change like Obama. Your new game's been whacking away. You're not the same company from back in the day. When I was a kid, I was a big Sega fanboy. Had every console, heck, even the damn toys. Hurt to seeing all the moves y'all been making. For over 10 years, man, my head's been shaking. I got a list of things in this letter. Trust me, this will help y'all do better.
It will.
Make less games for the Wii. And y'all need to make a Shenmue 3.
Cosine.
The whole world wants to play that game. Yakuza is cool, but it's not in the same lane. I will pay any damn fee to have an epic battle with Land D.
Yes.
Need Sega GT with the fine courses. A fantasy star with the shine forces. Have fun unlocking Masashi. And Hanzo reminds me of Kakashi. Sega had many RPGs. Y'all were the whole effing show like RVD. Bring back Alex Kidd and Wonder Boy. Right Star Flicky the Bird and Echo Boy. Putting them on the shelf was a no-no. Y'all could have been rolling deep like Miyamoto. Y'all falling off the edge, dog. We're pretty much sort of Sonic the Hedgehogs. I copped the Xbox port of generations, goddamn it was short. The people really want a 2D HD or a Sonic Adventure 3. 1 and 2 were the last good games. Go back to the roots, pretty please, to keep a good name. It's heating up, cause now I have to mention all the beat-em-ups. Street of Rage brings gamers to tears, cause we haven't seen a new one in 18 years. Where the heck is Last Bronx and Die Hard? Spike out, oh man, I'm about to die hard. Sega really had too many classics. It really sucks that you put them in the casket. Y'all should try to get Mordecai and Rigby. A partnership with Capcom and Disney. Vector Man was a good one. All the Beasts and Afterburner was some good ones. Do sequels so we can have a mind blown. Stop doing remakes on the iPhone.
Damn.
Oh yeah, speaking of consoles, it's about that time for a console.
Yep.
If y'all need money like the Carter, start a go-go, hell, even a Kickstarter. The gamers around the world will really hop on it. Real talk, I will put my life savings on it. I can't even speak anymore, man. I can't even rap. Got a little emotional right there. Sega, we just want to see you number one again, man. Don't take anything personal, man. I'm just speaking for all the gamers, all the Sega fanboys, everybody that spent hours on those forums. Give us a Dreamcast too. Give us something, man. Good quality games. That's all we want, man. Alright, I'm signing off. Sincerely, Mr. Wilson. Peace.
Alright, we are back from the break, and we're diving into the question of the week. This week, really, it's continuation of conversation about Xbox One. A lot of news has come out. Post reveal, Xbox One, of course, the name. So we wanted to know what your thoughts were on the Xbox One, so we threw that out.
Do you want to know?
You can't whisper
what you're
it because
thinking.
It's one in capital, so you've got to shout it. Xbox One!
That's awesome.
You must do nothing of the such.
But more importantly, we have our own thoughts.
Nothing of the sort.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. The community is awfully important. We care about what they think. But we did have some of our own thoughts.
I thought you were going to say that you shouldn't say we have our own thoughts. That's clear.
We should not.
That's clear.
You
false.
Must confirm. all right. Well, let's talk about it. We talked a lot about all of the specs and stuff last week after the reveal.
I think it's better, and I think you're going to get there anyway, but I'm going to interrupt you because I'm rude. I think we should at this time react to the reaction, right?
All right, I like it.
We've already kind of talked about things, but let's talk about some of the things that's got the internet abuzz and what we think of it, right?
Sure.
So
I like that.
So the first thing that's got the internet mostly abuzz is everybody's screaming, Microsoft doesn't care about core gamers anymore. They're not doing games.
That's true.
What do you think about that, Mike Chin?
I think this is just to kind of get the message out there about what the console... I think everybody knew this was going to happen. And I don't know why people are shocked about it. And it's hard to say anything without E3 here. So
true.
I think they're going to double down on the games a little bit on E3. But my worry there is most of them, that when they say 15 new games, 8 new IPs, I reckon most of them will be not of our interest, i.e. Kinect games or games that we've seen much of before, so I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Find it a bit worrying that Remedy as well made the actual reveal and then the week after he's on Major Nelson, and he clearly can't say a bloody thing about the new game. He just can apologise for Alan Wake 2. And then bear in mind how long Alan Wake 2 took to make. So, yeah you can announce the game.
Remember, Alan Wake got announced at the Xbox Live, Xbox 360 launch event as well.
That's
remember
what I
that?
Mean. What I mean, so some of these titles, you don't know how long they're going to take to come out.
Oh, okay, let's relax for 1 second. One, I don't recall Alan Wake 2 ever being announced.
Yeah, he meant Alan Wake.
Yeah, so Quantum Breaker, for all we know, has been the game that they've been making since the end of Alan Wake's journey, which
that
was really Alan
got
Wake.
3
Nightmare.
Years left to come out.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
3 years left to come out. But, you know, I'm willing to give Remedy a pass in terms of Alan Wake 2. You know, yes, I know a lot of people were like, oh, I really want Alan Wake 2. But I'm equally as intrigued by Quantum Breaker.
Quantum Break.
I believe it's – is it Quantum Break or Quantum Breaker?
Break.
Break?
Break.
All right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean – we don't know. And Rich, I agree. That interview with the guy on Remedy, that was kind of ridiculous. It was, you know, I think that was as much, probably more to do with kind of some spin control and trying to get the audience thinking about something other than other topics that we're going to get into. But, yeah, I mean, I think Mike hit it on the head. E3 is where we're really going to be able to answer this question about whether or not they've really kind of walked away from games or not. They've promised 15 new games. They've promised 8 new IPs. I mean, that's, you know, from where I sit, they told everybody it was going to be a hardware-focused announcement with a few games at the announcement, but that the majority of all their games coverage was going to be at E3. So to me, I have a real difficult time with giving Microsoft a hard time for not showing games at this conference when they told everybody we're not talking about really games at this conference. There will be some, but that's going to be E3.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the other thing is I think Microsoft did make a bit of a mistake here in that they are counting on us to remember how good the Xbox 360 was. Right, they're counting on gamers to say, oh yeah, the Xbox 360 and the Xbox delivered when it came to games So now they're just trying to show us what else they're going to do. Whereas a lot of people have taken away from this, like, hey, what happened to the games? Gamers have short memories, I think.
Yeah, and also, like, we I think they might forget that we don't know what they know. And they go, oh, yeah. they didn't do a lot of don't worry, games are coming. They should have said that. It's like, listen, this show is going to be about the other stuff the console is and just seeing the console. E3 is going to be more about the games. And if they had said that from the go, I think they would have got a much more positive response.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Not enough foreshadowing.
Not enough foreshadowing. Put that on the report card. Chris, why don't you just lead us through this whole conversation?
I will do my best. It could be disastrous, though. So we're kind of done with the entertainment versus lack of games. I mean, so was anybody impressed with all of the entertainment stuff they showed? Are you happy about being able to run your cable through your Xbox?
Being well, as I live in the UK,
UK, it's a bit of a like.
Let's make a bold assumption here, and I realize this is a very bold assumption. Let's make the bold assumption that eventually you'll be able to run Sky or whatever you use for cable TV, satellite through your Xbox. Do you care?
No.
To be honest with you, and being as mine, the whole battleground for what they want is that being in the living room and the intrinsical part of what you do in your living room. Now,
the only thing in the living room.
Yeah, exactly. So I broached the subject of this with my wife, and to see the whole idea of splitting the screen and having a panel down the side and stuff, unless that thing's going to have Candy Crush playing on the right-hand side, she's not interested. And if I was to start doing that, I'm going to get a remote chucked at me head. and a crack in the nuts probably as well. So,
man, that's pretty serious. I mean,
yeah,
I
realize that messing angry with the television is an egregious offense, but come on.
It's going to be something that's handy if you're somebody that's got your own environment and you can control that environment and do what you want in. But when you've got other people knocking around in the same room, then you know a lot of the time that's not going to be appreciated.
Yeah,
but
now here's another concern, and this might only apply to the married folks, but I know we had a conversation about PC gaming on Twitter a few days ago where Greg and a few others mentioned that they couldn't put a PC in the living room because it didn't fit with the feng shui. So is this a problem, Greg? Can we not fit the Xbox with the feng shui?
No, the Xbox will fit nicely into the feng shui because it's going to slide right into any entertainment center.
Mm.
That's one thing I think you clearly see with the design of that box. It's well ventilated, apparently whisper quiet,
allegedly,
right, correct. I mean, it is from what I've seen on other dimensions, like they've done some now kind of like using the internet and measuring out the HDMI ports and then figuring out how wide it is and taking specs. In essence, it's smaller than the original PS3. It's slightly wider than the original Xbox 360, but it's not as tall as the original Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a huge form factor. It's not some behemoth. It looked awfully big in that initial reveal, and I know a lot of people are like, it looks like a Betamax player.
Yeah, it looked taller. It did look taller than the Xbox, the original.
Apparently not.
It looks fairly massive
to
me.
It could also be, remember, the original Xbox had that kind of hourglass curvature to it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the middle, the Xbox 360, the original Xbox 360s looked fairly slim, and then it kind of bows out to the ends. So my guess is this console is just slightly under the height of the end part of the Xbox 360s, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
But I mean, the form factor to me, I think in certain, when I see certain views of it, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't look that great. And I think that's mostly when I'm catching that grill looking, like the vents kind of, actually looking more like vents. Whereas if you catch it dead on, it looks fine. Mm. I don't know. It looks like a piece of tech to me. It looks kind of like the cable box I have underneath the entertainment center right now.
It was a bit like a Denon hi-fi type design.
Yeah.
A bit like a German hi-fi or a TIA, you know, and if you want to get Japanese.
One thing I did want to mention, and this is going to apply to you guys over in the UK.
Uh-oh.
Is that the way this is designed is it uses HDMI pass-through. What the Xbox 360 is doing is kind of putting its overlay onto your TV signal. So regardless if you have Sky or whatever TV service you're using, you'll be able to use some of that TV functionality.
Yeah.
What they're talking about when they talk about partnerships with Sky or with Comcast, things like that. Yeah, I mean in reality, Chris, I think you're right, is that some of that more in-depth function is going to be missing, but you'll still be able to do some of the basic features regardless of what system you have, including turning your TV on and off, including controlling your amp. You know, all of that used because it uses RF signal.
You know, for us guys over here, don't you find, I mean, that's sometimes some of the most frustrating stuff you get with like a hardware box for your TV. If you haven't got, you've got a remote sometimes, and because they're putting it in early and they've got a certain firmware that's been installed on it, some of your buttons that are on your remote don't work properly. Like, you know, certain things to do with, obviously there's the obvious one where you put the code in, obviously for your volume control on your TV, because every TV's right. Got its own code. But then sometimes they'll put a firmware into like a new box, and it's frustrating because you're pressing buttons on the remote and they're not actually appearing to do anything. And because you might not be keeping up with when that stuff's going to be working, and you might find the same with the Xbox because of the software that they're upgrading. So you're obviously having to keep track all the time of what software updates have been done to make that functionality become live on the box that you've got at the moment. And especially if you're paying catch up from our side of the pond and we're waiting for certain apps to come out, then you've got to keep your ear to the ground. And, you know, if that's something that's supposed to make me go out and pre-order or buy the box, and a big point of it, then that an important thing as part of that product is to know exactly what you can have from the top point of when you get it. Now, they're going to play it grey, where they do all of the stuff and tell you what it can do, but then you pull it out of the box and half the stuff won't work, or you haven't got that functionality. That, for me, living here, is a big thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't touched an actual remote aside from the Logitech Harmony remote in about 10 years. So I don't know. Like, the Logitech Harmony remote programs via USB and it works brilliantly, so I don't worry about any of that.
Right. And, you know, I will say this, Rich, that's, I think, kind of also part of the reason why your console will update automatically behind the scenes. It in theory, should be keeping up to date. I mean, that's what they were kind of promising.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, from the get-go, if you haven't got all of that functionality and know what you're playing with to start off with, yeah, you're then having to do a catch-up all the time in reading what the last update was. There's nothing worse with like software notes and stuff when somebody from this, me from a works point of view, if you do a software upgrade, yeah, every time you get one of them software upgrades, they'll give you a set of release notes and you have to go through all of that to see how it's affected the software that you're using day in and day out. Now, if you're not getting the software from the beginning, then that could be potentially very frustrating.
You know what, and I'm not going to argue with you because, you know what, that's everybody's going to have their own experience with it. Clearly, it's something you're going to want to look into.
Oh,
you know, you know, you're going to want to research it beforehand. My impression, and this also was based off of me listening to Wired magazine has a podcast called Game Life. They had a very in-depth discussion and talk about the actual hardware and its functionality. It was not this last podcast, but the podcast before. That was pretty interesting to hear, talking about how a lot of this functionality works. That all said, you know, some of the stuff is going to be useful for some people. Some of the stuff is not going to be useful for other people. I mean, me personally, I could care less about like the Xbox Music stuff. I don't download and listen to music off of my consoles or my computer even. So,
which incidentally is licensing that they haven't got problem with backward compatibility. Everything you buy, movies, music, that all carries over. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Worth knowing.
Yeah. And you know, it's probably, we can talk about backwards compatibility real quickly because
it's not
part
there.
Of all of this.
Wham, wham. Moving on. Yeah. speaking of,
well, it's
not
it
there.
Can't be there.
Huh? Go ahead, Greg. Go ahead.
I was going to say it can't be there because the technology of the 360, the architecture of the 360 is completely different from the Xbox One. And the same holds true for the PS4 and the PS3. Nothing is going to be backwards compatible. Sony's talking about trying to bring backwards compatibility through Gaikai, but that's not going to be backwards compatibility. That's going to be them offering up all those games again to you through Gaikai.
And on that,
right.
A point worth noting is, yes, I understand that both of the major console suppliers have said that they're not going to give you backwards compatibility for the previous titles that you have bought, whether they be discs or a digital investment that you've made over the past 6 years. But don't you think if the whole linchpin of their services, this is both Sony and Xbox, is dependent on providing a digital service, doesn't that start stinking a bit when they're moving into this digital area, that they're not saying, yes, these titles that you've invested for the last 6 years will be able to move on through your service. Whereas if you was on a platform like Steam, because every single podcast I've heard about this have just talked about, well, Sony's doing it, so Microsoft are doing it, it's not a problem. But if you're on Steam, yeah, and you decide after a certain amount of time, everybody moans about the fact that you have to upgrade a PC. But you upgrade your PC, your titles haven't changed. You've still got them titles. And I think there was a couple of instances, Chris, you mentioned it, where, you know, there's some really, really, really old games that you can't play and they do eventually fade out. That's not going to hurt me as much as having, say, you know, a massive investment in Xbox Live Arcade titles or PSN Network games that you've bought, and then finding all of a sudden one day that they're not going to work on your new platform, and at any point in time in the future, because you haven't got any given track record of when they switch servers off, apart from the fact that you know that the linchpin game from the original Xbox got switched off about a year or so ago. So that's the only thing you've got to go on. Do you know what I mean? So if we're moving forward like this, do you think that people are going to be saying, if they upgrade this in another 6 years or 8 years or whatever, is it worth me putting money in? Because that's what you're going to be all basing everything around, is doing digital investments. That's what they want. So they want you to download your games. So are we not going to be a bit more reluctant to make that investment because of the fact that we can't see any sort of stability in what we're investing in?
I almost don't want to speak because I don't want to feel like I'm coming across as trying to defend this.
It's too harsh. It's a debate. So, come on, let's get our points across.
Well, I think there's valid. You make a valid point, Rich, in that you know, people want to be able to keep what they've purchased, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, just leave your Xbox 360 plugged in. I suppose if you've got room in your entertainment center for it and extra HDMI inputs, you know, fine, but I don't still have my NES plugged in so that I can keep playing my old NES games from 30 years ago or whatever. So the backwards compatibility issue to me is a minor point, but it's, you know, there is some truth in, you know, you paid for a game license. At some point in time, they're going to take that game license away by shutting down servers or ending whatever way it is that you can verify that you have indeed paid for that game license. So that's, you know, that's legitimate concern, but we didn't have backwards compatibility on the PS3, really. We did at launch, but it went away pretty fast.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying though, but it's growing so much now, Chris. There wasn't like the need for it so much in an older generation. I think it's a lot easier to say, I'm going to let go of discs. But when you've got content and you know that you've got so many services now, like iTunes and Amazon, once you buy that, you've got it, and they will guarantee that you've got it over your devices over and over again.
That's music and video, right? Music and video are so very different because music and video don't require a Windows kernel running or whatever other type of operating system you're working on. You know, you just need something that can decode whatever codec that music is coded in, or whatever codec that video is coded in, and then it's good to go. So it's different. It's a backwards compatibility costs the developer money, and which means it's going to cost us money, and that's why I'm not that worried about it.
Here I'm going to make probably the best analogy I can make for the PC side of it, Rich, which is, let's say you're a PC gamer, you've had your PC. You decide to upgrade to an Apple Mac or, you know, Mac Pro, whatever. I mean, in essence, and I think you're going to have to probably try and run emulators or something to try and get those programs to work on your computer.
No, you're not.
You just boot it up in boot camp.
Yep.
So the person that's made the hardware has given you all the facilities you need to play or use what you've already got.
Yeah.
Simple.
Rich, I think you should become a PC gamer.
Well, I think
possibly forthcoming.
Yeah.
I think we'll see. The answer.
It could be the answer for all of us. That's the funny part about this. I mean, as much as I am defending some of what Microsoft has done, not all of it can I defend, and not all of it am I, you know, okay with. Rich, you and I were just talking about earlier, you know, different arcade games that we were potentially looking to get and not get, and whether or not we should buy now is a big question mark.
Yeah.
You know, I look at some of the titles coming down the pipe and I'm like, God, am I going to want to pick up, Grand Theft Auto 5 is really the only game that I know of that's not coming to the next gen now and is just releasing on the old platform. Outside of that, I think every other title is doing kind of this double shift. And so, you start questioning, should I be picking that up or should I be waiting?
If there's one thing that I've took personally out of what we had from the reveal last week, and I'll thank Microsoft for it, is they've now created such a level playing field for me. And that is, it's detrimental to them, but as far as I'm concerned now as a consumer, the whole field is completely level. I mean, I know I've toyed with the idea about whether I'll eventually jump into the PS3 or the PC world. But now, because I haven't got any sort of obligation to carry these titles with me to any sort of new platform, I think the whole sense of community so far, I mean, we'll wait and see what's to, because I think E3 will be a big thing for that when they're talking about gamers and how they communicate. But that appears to be obliterated at the moment, because you didn't get much of an idea from them at the reveal about that. And I find that a bit telling, the fact that everybody was saying that they weren't bothered about gamers and so on. But what they should have been concerned about is how they've built up this great thing over the past 8 years. They started their last platform with saying the key part of it is we're going to take this big chance on having a multiplayer platform. And they've created this great community type atmosphere. People I know their start off point for a console, because of all the multiplayer stuff, whether it be your COD guys or your FIFA guys, they want to go out and they want to play games with the mates. And that whole buy-in base has grown and grown and grown because of the fact that they created such a great community type platform.
I'm not following you, Rich. I don't see how this has gotten away from community at all.
There was Xbox barely any Live sort of mention there. About, yeah, but well, again, barely it goes any back mention to, of that.
It goes back to, they've already shown us they can do that, right? We know Xbox Live has a good sense of community. We know that the multiplayer is there, that it works, that matchmaking works. They added Skype, which gets rid of the awful party chat system that we all hated. So I'm not following you. What do you think, Mike?
Hello.
I went to Italy and everything went mad.
Well, I've said my bit, really. Like, you know, I've said that it is a case of waiting for E3. It's a shitty thing to say where it's like, well, now we've had this event, it's time to wait for another. But it is that. And I think I'm with Chris on this one. Like, I think Microsoft expect everyone to remember that everything they've done previously, they will still do. So they will still have the games. They will still have the Xbox Live service. If anything, they're trying to improve on it and broaden it. And broaden it across different mediums. But that whole community thing, it's still going to be there. And I think a big part of why you're going to buy the next console, which console you're going to buy, is what are your mates playing? Because to be honest, my best friend Marsh said, he's pre-ordered his Xbox One, which pretty much means I'm getting one because I always play my games with him. You know, and I always do, and a lot of people I know will be playing Xbox One. A lot of my Call of Duty friends, everybody I pretty much know, multiplayer wise, are getting an Xbox One. As apart from like people who podcast, where they're spread about a bit more. But you know, I'll go where my friends go, and I think that's a lot of these Call of Duty heads, these GTA 5 people, that they'll all go where their friends go, and yeah, that's I think that'll be what does it in the end. They've done such a great job of getting all these people on board with Xbox Live and making it so easy to use. It's still PlayStation that has to catch up and prove themselves that they can provide a great online service. They can provide a great console and great exclusives, but can they provide a great online service? Because PlayStation still haven't done that yet. Whereas everybody who buys an Xbox One should know that it's already going to be there.
That's one of the big telling things for me about me not wanting to get into this light until after probably 12 months or so. Because I want to see how it rolls out for Sony. That big thing is for that. And then how the whole thing rolls out for Microsoft, so I'll not be getting it out of the box and not knowing if half the stuff works.
For me, getting it on launch goes down to price. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to like the price when they announced it. The reason why I don't think I'm going to like it is because if they have a good price on this, i.e. $300, they would have said it at that event, I think.
Yeah, I think we're talking looking at 400
bucks. Yeah, we're looking at $400, maybe 450. If they went higher than that, you're looking into kind of PS3 territory where you have to get two jobs, you know.
Yeah.
So I think if it was 350, maybe 400, maybe I'd get one on launch. It would be the first time I've ever bought a console on launch. But I think I might do what you do, Primrose, and just wait it out. Maybe not 12 months, but I could give it a 6 months, kind of see how this goes. Because I'm not loyal to Xbox at all. I like my achievements, but I'm not that fussed, to be honest.
I've got a bit of a back burner plan as well. My back
I won't go to PC though.
No, I'm not.
That's no, not that... my backup. I'm always a console gamer. That's just the way it is.
That might be my next investment, and I'm keeping all of them open. But what I might do for that interim time, because I've never played anything on the PS3, I picked up. This is what I did at the weekend. I went and got Skullduggera on PS Network ID.
So what
I'm starting to like, and I've been looking at the prices of them. They're unbelievably low, and I've got this weird feeling in my head that once Thingy comes out in June, that last big exclusive,
The Last of Us,
that there might be a swell of second-hand consoles going on. So I'm thinking maybe I might just jump on the PS3 for six to eight months or something.
The Last of Us is the only reason I still have a PS3.
Yeah.
Rich, you may be onto something there, because if you think about what Rich's plan involves, basically, Rich, I think you could extend this out like 3 years. Because you buy a new PS3, and now you just start playing back titles, all the games on PS3 that, you know, were exclusive.
And then you'll get an Xbox One, like, where, you know.
When they've had a massive price drop, yeah.
It's a good plan. It's a good plan. And you can pick all those games up used still.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, nice.
Speaking of.
That was good.
Used games. What do we think? There's a lot of questions going around about the used games rentals, game sharing market. What are they hiding from us?
Well, I mean, who knows what they're hiding from us at this point? I mean, I don't think Microsoft has much less left to hide, because they've been exposed for they have a used game plan in play. They're developing it out. I think the problem with Microsoft's plan is people wanted details, and they clearly were not ready to give details.
No. They might be still working it out, though.
I think that's a big part of the problem, I think they are still working it out.
I think they're actually just kind of throwing things out there to the community to see how the community reacts, and then that's where they're going to – that's how they're coming up with their plan.
You saying that, Chris, that might be a good – an example would be the Kinect thing. You know, they throw a few things out there, see how it goes, and a lot of people said, "Oh, I don't like the Kinect looking at me all the time," and then they come out saying, "Oh no, you can switch it off, it's fine." And then the next argument is, "Oh, use games. We'll use games," and then they might come up with "Okay, guys, we need to come up with a solution for this."
Right.
And look
something
like the good
to do
guys
with used games.
Just make it look like they planned it all along, when really they
exemption codes.
Well, I mean,
because what's going to happen to my love film? That's what I'm thinking. What's happening to my love film?
I'm going to speculate on that. I don't think either of the console manufacturers have got any sort of loyalty towards any sort of rental service, and I don't think they're in any sort of any of their plans. And furthermore, I've got an idea that Microsoft are brewing up the idea of being able to digitally rent, because they're big on that to do with the films and everything. Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me if they think, well, if we can take a bite of this chera, and they could effectively put everybody out of the market for that, Redbox and all them lot, and say, right, we will solely be able to provide you with games that you can rent for, say, a week. And you're
the
paying
PlayStation
a chunk of
Plus
money.
Service, though, is much better than that, where you just pay a
service. Yeah, but from Microsoft's point of view, they've got to come up with something to match that as well, haven't they? So a lot of the digital marketplace for them, and I'm not too worried about the fact that they've said about indie game sections and Xbox Live Arcade. I think that's all part of their shop front and what they're going to change that for. You know what I mean? To do with, like, buying titles and stuff. And I could see a scenario where they've got no problem with renting games that aren't new and just been released, but titles like what you would historically have got on demand, where they've been out for a few months, but say, hey, if you want to rent this for a week, pay this amount, and then the developers obviously are getting a steady stream of cash coming through that way as well, because they would have never got a chunk of the Love Film stuff, would they?
Let me ask you.
Only as far as an increased disc price would it be. I'm assuming that a rental service pays an inflated rate, obviously, for the discs, don't they? So.
Yeah. Chris, go ahead and ask your question.
Let me ask this question, because so I don't have a valid opinion, because I've kind of stopped doing used games and buying. I've been buying fewer games lately anyway. But does the thought that used game sales will now require this transfer, or perhaps renting through Love Film is going to be harder, affect how many games you're going to be buying in the next generation?
I don't know that it really will affect me. It might affect how many games I end up playing in the future. I mean, I pretty much buy all of my games in terms of, if I'm going to buy a game, I buy it new. But I do Gamefly to test out some games that I'm, you know, on the fence that I would potentially want to, you know, buy or not. And I think there's a, you know, Rich brings up a great point. Microsoft absolutely could be going that route. I mean, just to dive back into the rental stuff, sorry, but, you know, think about Xbox Live. Right now, we have the ability to try any arcade title. And what if Microsoft said, not only does Xbox Live give you, you know, a trial of every arcade title, but you also will get, you know, an hour trial of all games on demand, all, you know, any game in our service will give you a timed trial.
Well, they've got to add that, something. They've got to, yeah. You know, I think one of the things that we, they have to add some value to keep up with PlayStation Plus. Right now, I think more and more people are realizing that paying $50 a year just to play online, when you can play online for free on the PS3 and on the PS4 and on the PC, you know, that's not really worth it anymore.
I think it's also important as well for the future of the game development that the experimentation as far as people's playing habits is encouraged, because what you could drive yourself into a scenario is if all the rental services and so on are gone, and the used game thing, that let's just say it didn't pan out, and that was all, you know, people that were trading in and buying used games, that just took a massive wallop. Not as many people were doing that. Then the diversity of people's playing habits, I think, are going to be narrowed, because investments that you make in four titles, I might probably go for, say, 4 to 6 games a year or something like that, new. But I rely on being able to comp them games quickly, fire them back into the shop, and then get that that money down ready for the next one on a card or whatever. And having that reserve of cash ready and just churning up for when, you know, a couple of months later a big release is coming out, that's important to me. But that will, you know, when we was just talking about XCOM earlier, the Bureau, yeah? So for me, that's quite a taking myself away from what I'd normally play. But because I've been encouraged, A, because I bought a copy of XCOM, right? And that was used. So sorry, developers, I didn't help you out there. But now I've got money that's cash ready to buy a game that's brand new, that's coming out, that's based on the XCOM franchise. And because I enjoyed that last title so much, I want to play that one. And I wouldn't have played either if I would have been in my normal buying habits. You see what I'm saying? So I think that's quite important for the years coming up as well.
Mike, what about you?
I was just thinking, like, I, you know, would I buy half the shit that I rent?
CSI still be there.
Sorry?
CSI, surely.
Fuck no. No way. I wouldn't buy them. I wouldn't buy them. I know they're trash. You know, I'm just looking at the games that I've got now. I've got Dead Island and DMC from Love Film. And I wouldn't buy them. And if I did buy them down the line, they would be used.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
it's an important part.
They don't win, like, by doing this, from my point of view.
I think there's truth in that. I think if used games cost more, people are going to buy fewer new games. And if game rentals cost more, people are going to buy fewer games. I think that's what we're going to see.
And you've got a weird flipped scenario as well, where we always hear about the Steam side of it. If the games get devalued so much, and people are, if they, just say everybody went crazy, Sony, Microsoft, and just said, right, we're going to do the same model as Steam, we're going to have these crazy sales. Everybody's going to buy loads of games. We're all going to end up with massive libraries of games that we never play, because that's the big thing, isn't it, with the whole thing to do with Steam sales. That'd be weird.
Yeah, you know, I will just say I'm sure that game rentals are somehow going to have to be addressed and fixed. Whether it's truly like Gamefly gets to tap into Microsoft and get new codes that they send out with a rental, I one thing I'm convinced on is that this is going to be happening on both consoles.
Yeah, that's a good point that I'm glad you brought up. It's not something that Microsoft are doing alone. It's not as if Sony has suddenly become the light side of the force.
Well, and it's interesting because one of the things that keeps getting brought up, you know, Sony said they're not going to block to use games, and Sony said they're not going to have an always-on console. And to that, my response is you have to read into what Sony is saying, because Microsoft is telling us we're not blocking used games. You're going to be able to get used games. It's just going to require a code and an activation. Sony's not going to block to use games. Doesn't mean that they're not going to attach some kind of license and set up with it. This used game thing, by the way, is being completely driven by the publishers.
Definitely.
Which it's amazing that they have not been saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of always on, you know, look back to what Yoshida said. You know, the PlayStation 4, you know, we never even thought about having an always online console because we didn't think most people had broadband internet connections that were robust enough to sustain something like that. Always online console versus a console that needs an internet connection are completely two different things.
Mm-hmm.
The Xbox One is not always online, but it does require an internet connection to do that checkup. And I have a gut feeling that PS4 is going to be doing the same thing.
The most worrying thing for me about this as well, it's not so much the ideas behind it, because they're all sour enough in everybody's mouths, and we don't know how they're going to play out. All I need to know is at the end of it that they keep the whole idea of consoling simple. Because that was the whole thing about bringing out consoles. If this brings in too many things that you have to do before you can actually start playing the game, or if you want to do the trading thing, if it's going to bring in loads of little procedures that you have to do yourself,
right,
that's going to be a pain in the arse. And for all of what we're hearing, we don't know yet. They might have a brilliantly simplified method of doing it. All the tills and everything in the shops take care of it. You redeem a code, that's it, job done. You'll only ever do it once. But this whole thing about switching with the profiles, playing the game and everything, if they start overcomplicating it, it's the whole design structure of what a console was about to start off with. The whole thing about why Mike doesn't want to play PC games, it just starts taking away from that whole idea. And that's what I'm just hoping that they don't end up going down the road of.
I think that's really fair, Rich. And I'm going to say one last thing, and I'm going to completely get off this topic because we have talked this to death. I think sharing is also a very big concern for a number of our people in our community, including you, Rich, people that have families, multiple consoles in the same household. I'm going to hold off on judgment until E3 on this one, because from what I hear, there is some kind of changing to the way the Xbox Live membership also works, and it's supposedly, at least the way I was hearing it, going to incorporate family members into the mix. So I know they did away with the family plan. There's still stuff to be learned, and I guess that's what I'm getting at. And again, it just leads back to we need to see E3 first before we're really getting the full story.
I don't think we'll even have the full story then.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We may not even have price by the end of E3.
No, probably not. So, more to see. Interesting conversation. I'm sure the internet will continue to be abuzz about it as we go forward. Should we hear what the community had to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why
don't
we?
Let's move on.
So I threw this out there on Twitter this morning because I was at work and I didn't have much to do being a teacher who's not teaching at the moment. And I got quite a few responses, and rather than reading all of them, because there's almost 30, I think, I had a few people who responded, you know, well, we're not focusing on entertainment, we're not focused on games, we're focusing on entertainment. You know, for instance, John Mouse says, who would buy a game console for TV? Would you buy a toaster to make a cup of tea?
Yes.
And I said, yes, I would, provided it had a boiler and a... whatever else you need to make a cup of tea. But everyone seems generally interested. A couple other people remarked, you know, you don't have to use those functions. Some of the functions sound good. Some of the functions sound not so good. Some people didn't like the way it looked. But overall, everyone says, "Yeah, we got to wait and see." Although I do agree with some things that were said. For instance, let me see if I can find it. John Mouse also says, "I already have an unused Kinect. No need for an unused Kinect 2.0." Which is,
John Mouse, such a hater.
Well,
such a hater.
I tend to agree with him. I have a Kinect that's currently holding my door open. And that's one thing that's kind of putting me off the next Xbox is I know that the price of the console is going to include the price of that new Kinect sensor.
That's true.
I don't want to buy
that.
I'm not gonna
use
it.
And I guess here's the it's not really a counter to that, but it's kind of I really hate to say it this way, Chris, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of a deal with it situation.
I know.
Because the console's coming with it.
Well,
every console's shipping with Kinect.
And here's,
I think that's actually a good thing.
And here's how I'm going to deal with it, Greg.
I know you're not.
I'm not going to buy one. this is the beauty of the free market, right?
Yes.
Well,
we
still have a free market. You don't have to buy it. Although
that's one of the things that it frustrates me a little bit when I hear people saying, "Oh, well, it comes with the Kinect camera, and I don't want the Kinect camera." It's not an option this time around. It's not I wish I could buy it. You know, I should be able to buy it separate. You can't. It's with it. So, you know, for all the people saying, "Oh, you know, it comes with Kinect and I'm not interested," I get you're not interested from a standpoint of what happened with the past Kinect. It was not at all what people promised. But if you're going to buy the next Xbox One, you're getting the next Kinect.
Yeah, and the weird thing is as well, I'm probably the one that supports the Kinect the most out of all of us. You know, because I get so much use out of it in our house with the kids and everything. And I was
talking, I'm actually pretty excited for the next
Kinect. Yeah, it's like I can't understand why I've been so underwhelmed by everything that's gone off. And it is, I think it's down to the game focus stuff. And I'm just a Mardy bastard, but never mind.
I don't use it. I don't care for the voice recognition of it. I don't care for the using both hands to do the gestures that I can do with one hand on my smartphone. You know, if they really wanted to impress me, they would include, they would have the Smart Glass app do all that, where I could hold my iPad and control the Xbox using the iPad or what other tablet touchscreen input device that I use. So that was kind of the general consensus of that conversation. Although I did put out a hashtag OC Xbox One reveal, and two people responded. So I'm going to read their responses. Kevin Knight says, "Both parties are playing their cards well with each other. I'm sure there is much more to be revealed." So he says, "Wait and see." And Gary Lever says, his thoughts: TV, 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 sports, 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 COD, 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 which is about what we got. Here's how you can watch TV, here's how you can play sports, and here's the new dog in Call of Duty. So, well done. Yeah, so that was kind of what went down on Twitter. Let's see, I'll mention the specific contributors because it got rather lengthy. John Mouse, Mark Davies, myself, Womble, Red Toe, and Robin Tate, a.k.a. Bongo the Sane, as well as Orty84, who takes the reasonable approach of wait till E3 and then decide.
That's the one.
And Womble brings up an excellent point, because we did sort of reach the conclusion that it was just everyone's anger was just sort of a knee-jerk reaction. Womble says, the major game sites aren't helping because they keep fanning the flames so they can keep getting lots of hits and lots of ad revenue.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
24-hour news cycle. Bam.
Chris, you want to just jump into what Gate had to say, and then we'll kick it back to Rich for twits?
Let's do. So let's see. Spauk says, "I watched about 15 minutes of the reveal footage. About 2 minutes into the tech guy's spiel, I couldn't stomach more. The first dude was a corporate suit. Meh. The second guy showed us what it looked like to use the system, but all the while I kept thinking, this won't run this quick and perfectly in our homes in real life. Like there was some person literally behind the curtains doing the controls, so it seemed to be snappy. I also couldn't stop thinking he was talking and saying things like TV and Xbox et al. When he wasn't trying to use the Xbox, why didn't the Kinect react to his voice? If I am conversing with someone while playing Skyrim, the Kinect often reacts by activating a shout or some other verbal command. maybe he really wasn't controlling the system, eh? Of course, I reserve final judgment till people get the system in their homes and bugs are discovered slash addressed. And Happy Mr. Chicken says, I like that the marketing department decided the big USP of next gen that they would talk about at the launch would be Kinect. I also like the implication that Microsoft has a department thinking about hand motions that could be applied to Kinect. I have a few ideas on that myself.
So I want to chime in real quickly with regards to Spock. I am actually – I totally agree. It wasn't a live demo, but I will also say I would never expect that to be a live demo. If you are on stage, national TV, revealing your product, on stage demo with a live audience, there is no way in hell you put out a demo that potentially could go wrong. You are asking for problems. You don't want the Kinect freak out. You know, you put forward what the product is going to be like. You don't try and you know, fool customers into thinking, you know, it's this snappy and it's not really that snappy. I'm pretty convinced that it works the way it does based off all the feedback I've heard. But I agree with Spock. It wasn't live. There's no way in heck he's standing on stage saying those voice commands, doing the motion controls, and it potentially not, one, having a weird interact, two, just on the off chance somebody out in the audience says something happens to where the Kinect, you know, freaks out hearing something else. You don't leave that up to, you know, potential disaster. That's like kind of a very common thing that happens in most presentations that are going to be going live like that. You want it to be controlled.
That's one of the weird things that's going to baffle me as well to do with later on, because what they were saying was that once you pick up the controller, that locks the Xbox onto your voice, yeah? Is that right? Well, when your profile signs in and so on?
The Kinect actually can identify the controller and the player holding the controller, mm-hmm. and it can distinguish if you hand the controller off to somebody else. It will distinguish the controller handing over to the other player.
So does that actually give it a marker for what voice it needs to be listening to?
I think it associates it with the player, and then it associates the controller with the player. So the actual Xbox, the new Xbox controller, one of the other things in it that people weren't really talking about is it also has an infrared sensor in it for basically being tracked by Kinect. And that's how it tracks the controller.
Yeah.
And so it does self-identify, and supposedly, and again, this is part of some of the bells and whistles stuff I was just hearing about, but the directional microphones supposedly are much more improved to where it will hone in on where you are, and it will do noise cancellation, in a sense kind of creating a, for lack of a better way for me to put it, is like a cone directly to you where it's listening for just sound coming out from your area.
Yeah. So the weird thing for me is, like, if that's all running through your cable box and it's like normal real world and you're watching TV and stuff, how easy is it to trigger all this stuff off by accident? Because it'd be nice to say that, you know, I say, be quiet, children. We're watching television now. And that,
right.
But that is not your average domestic
environment.
That's
exactly what kids do.
Well, here's what I'm really hoping, especially for these particular things, Rich, is I want it, you know, and I hope to God Microsoft is smart and they put out a bunch of units at like Best Buy's before the launch and allow people to come in and experience it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me see it working in a real environment with noise around it. Let me see how well that voice recognition works.
They did that with the Kinect, didn't they? Really?
Yeah. They used to have little stands set up, but this time around, they're not going to need that huge ass space they had to do for the original Kinect. This thing supposedly can read you like up to 3 feet away.
Mm. God, how good Euro game are going to be this year, Mike? Right before it comes out.
I know, yeah. It's true. It's all going to be there. It's going to be massive queues.
Yep.
All right, Rich, let's go back to some of the tweets. We did have some tweets sent in directly to us.
Yes.
Why don't we knock those out?
Yeah, we had Gamox14. He put in, listen to your reveal podcast today. Nice work. P.S. Any new tips for XCOM for me? Christopher, this is for you.
Well, I sent him a tweet back. Yep. Patience, primarily.
Yep.
Yeah, keep your dudes in cover. Never
plasma over lasers.
Hey, and yeah. check out that Kane and Rince podcast, the one that.
Oh yeah, Sonic that was Christian. A good podcast, Rich.
It's good. It's definitely there's an cherry pick which ones you want. Obviously, this one obviously for what your question is. Go to XCOM, and it's brilliant. Very in depth look at XCOM, and you get tips and stuff from that, especially about builds and stuff for your snipers and what tree progression to use and stuff. So that's a good one to listen to.
I don't like to toot my own horn, but I did start a thread on this very topic on G4TE with lots of thoughts on how to build your characters and general strategies and tactics for beating the game on Iron Man difficulty. So check
can I
out.
Ask, Chris, if we make a suggestion, would you please post up on there also maybe some tips and tricks to beating Christopher Matthew on XCOM multiplayer?
The tip to beating Christopher Matthew on XCOM multiplayer is to beat the game on classic Iron Man.
Damn it!
Once you do that, then you will have reached enlightenment.
Continue on, Rich. Continue on.
Yeah, Turtle502. So the OC podcast has an interesting take on the Xbox reveal, according to the event. Mystery Science Theater style. Refreshing.
MST3K. Woo!
Yeah.
Now I get it.
And then we had another one from Stulek, and he hashtagged it with the news quiz. OC news quiz. I'm trying to wait until E3 to voice my opinion. So far, not exactly gamer focused, and don't feel a need to buy. Another one holding off. A Canadian perspective from Transatlantic Rants. A load of US-centric TV hokum. Not relevant to me. Xbox treated me like a cash machine, not a gamer. Hashtag OC News Quiz.
Yes.
And then hashtag. The last one from Kevin. I think you mentioned this one, Chris. Anyway, both parties are playing their cards well to each other, and I'm not sure if there is much.
Yeah, I read those too.
You've heard that. So that's your tweets.
Okay. We had an email from Parsnip before we read our Mike reads Kevin Knight's hint, hint, Mike. Parsnip knows, sent us an email a little ways back, and it was actually before our Xbox One reveal, or just after, and we just didn't have a chance to get it on. So anyway, yes, Chris,
we got to wrap back around after you get done with this. So just remind me.
I will wrap back around. I promise. Parsnip said, I loved those questions last week, particularly the F Mary kill. So here's one from me. What is the best lie you've ever told? And then he goes on.
Is
he says,
it the best lie or the biggest lie?
Well, biggest or best.
It does say
depends.
Best. It does say best.
Yeah, it is best, yeah. But you could consider the biggest lie you've ever told to be the best. He says, I can't decide between two of my lies. I told each of my children that they had a secret middle name, which they were only allowed to know when they turned six. My daughter's was Snurdly, and my middle son's was Flumpty. And the youngest was Wobbly Woo. They each believed it for a while, and I loved it. The other was telling my six-year-old that in the future, birds will have jetpacks instead of wings. So he says, how about you guys? So best lie you've ever told.
Okay. When I was in driver's ed, you have that over there, I assume, Mike and Rich?
Yeah, when you learn to drive, teenagers.
So, you know, through the public school system, we can take driver's ed, at least in Florida. You could take it through the public school system. So we would go three student drivers and the teacher in the cars to go out and drive in traffic. And we told one of the young ladies that was in the class with us, bear in mind, this is all 15-year-olds doing what 15-year-olds do. We told this one girl that any stop sign with a white outline around it was optional. And if you're familiar with U.S. road signs at all the stop signs have a white outline around them. So the first time she got in traffic, she blew right through one. And the teacher freaked out and stomped on that extra brake pedal that they have installed in the car. She was just crying. We didn't feel bad because 15-year-old boys have no remorse for such things. But in retrospect, it was kind of a dick move. Thankfully, she didn't cause an accident because then when you really feel like shit. That's probably mine.
Mike or Rich? I'm still trying to.
I'm thinking.
The only one I can think of is when I went to college. There's a guy there I met called Mark, and I convinced him for 6 months that I was Irish. I was just pretty impressed I got away with it, to be honest. And I got caught because I was talking to somebody else, and he heard me not speaking Irish. So.
See, those are funny. Those are good. I don't know that I have a good best lie.
I've got a techie one.
All right. Let's hear it.
Right. A few years back, when I used to work at a printer's up the road from where we're now, we used to have a Linux server, and it was, you know, the internet had been out for a while. But what we used to have is a maintenance contract, so that an engineer would do all his maintenance by dialing in and doing everything remotely. And this was unheard of at the time. Nobody else was doing that. There was none of the services out there that you get now. So anyway, we did a group bullshit on one of the sales reps. So this guy, Terry, he wasn't the brightest. So what we did was we led him to believe. We got one of the guys that was like a studio manager sat down in a chair, and he came in, and he was looking at the fact that he was just staring at the screen and not doing anything. So he moved closer, and then we'd already worked this story out. It was like just explaining to him that we'd got new retina-controlled cursors installed, and this is before Kinect and everything. So wherever he looked on the screen, the cursor would move to. So he just sat there watching him with his hands by his sides and that, and this guy was just like doing the googly eyes and that, and the cursor was moving all over the screen. He's going, God, that's so amazing. Anyway, we found out like 2 weeks later that he'd be going out telling all the customers that we've got this brand new technology, and that's how he was doing all of our work from now on. So, yeah, that was good bullshit. I like that one.
This is going to paint me in a bad light, but I'll tell it.
Uh-oh.
So this is back in my much younger days. And I had been dating this girl at the time. I also happened to work with this other young lady at the bank that I worked at the time. And she ended up coming over at lunchtime, fooled around. Unbeknownst to me, the girl that I was dating decided to come over later that day. And I hadn't bothered to really shower afterwards or anything like that. So she kind of threw herself at me. And so we start fooling around, and suddenly she just stops in mid stride, deadpan look at me. Have you been with anybody else lately? And I just looked at her. Nope.
Oh, man. Greg.
And, yeah.
You are a dog. I could no longer
speak. It was despicable. It was despicable at the time. I look back on it, and I'm like, how could I? But at the time, I actually was fearing for my life.
And then she went down on you. Ta-da!
Talk about the most vulnerable situation you could possibly be in. Anyway, all right, now that I look like an asshole. Parsnip continues on. So presumably by now we have all seen some of the Microsoft announcement. From what you've seen so far, if you could only buy one next-gen console, which would it be? That's all for now, Parsnip. I don't know that any of us have actually said.
I don't think anybody should be allowed to back out of this, and they shouldn't be able to say, I'm waiting for E3. I think we should just say, where we are now, at the moment, what would you go out if you had the money in your hand to go and put a pre-order down? What would you pick?
New graphics card for my PC.
No.
What?
If you'd only buy, I guess he's specifically tying this to one of the next-gen consoles. Which console would you buy?
He's not telling me how to spend my money. Damn it, this is America.
America.
If you can only buy one next gen console, you know what? Then I'm gonna give you the middle finger. I'm gonna buy the Wii U.
Nice.
That's the current gen, though.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. No, I would actually consider
it's the next gen Nintendo. Just because Nintendo's entire hardware generation behind doesn't mean it's not next gen.
Yeah. The Ouya's next gen.
Ouya! All right, fine. If I can only buy one right now, I'm going to go with the Microsoft X-Bone, because that is where most of G4TE will be going, I think.
Yeah.
Mike, you want to go next?
I'll probably get the X-Bone.
I refuse to call it that, by the way.
I would get...
Like Chris refuses to call Black Ops Blops.
Yes.
I would get a PS4. Because the change is as good as a wank.
Okay.
Yeah, this actually is a tough one because for me, what I've seen game-wise so far, clearly the PS4 has shown more. But I do hate the DualShock controller. I hate those thumbsticks sitting side by side. I don't know what it is. So without any other reveals, blah, 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 probably the X1.
There you go.
Well, that was an interesting one today as well. Mad Cats have already announced that they're doing peripherals, aren't they, for the new Xbox.
Of course they are.
Yeah. Same with Turtle Beach.
Yep. And adapters coming for Turtle Beach, apparently. So people don't have to be pissed off about paying £150 for their headsets.
That will make me a happy man. Mike, why don't you read Kevin Knight's email?
Okie doke. Yes, so Kevin Knight has wrote in and said, "Hi guys, hope you are all having a good show and looking forward to the next gen consoles." We've hardly talked about it, to be honest, Kevin. I'm sure that you've had a long debate already with your personal views. I wanted to give you my opinion on the Xbox One and PS4. The reveal last Tuesday was admittedly a little disappointing with regards to what Microsoft showed us. Half the stuff with regards to the TV and fantasy football I don't care about, and I doubt will come to the UK anyway. EA Sports section was just boring to me. Hell, the wife even nudged me to keep me from falling asleep. Call of Duty made me laugh with regards to all the dog shit. All I could think about was the dog in Fable and how you can equip him a perk. I don't give a flying feck about the tattoo in his ear or the scars on his nose. I will not live long enough, be alive long enough in a game to see it. Both Sony and Microsoft have so much more to reveal, in my opinion. They're keeping their cards held firmly to their chest. Yes, there's a lot of unanswered questions that us gamers would love to be answered, but I don't expect we'll get them all. But I don't expect we'll get them at E3. Most games will be cross-platform now, so it will be more about the extras that your console/all-in-one can do. And of course, the exclusives. I just hope the 15 exclusives have been promised don't all end up to be Disney and Sesame Street for the Kinect. That's my prediction, Kevin. All of the people that are moaning about the next gen not playing your old 360 PS3 games makes me chuckle. When was the last time any of you played an original Xbox or PS2 title? I will keep my 360 to play the games I have kept all along with the 150 or so arcade titles. As for which console I pre-ordered, the answer is both. Money bags. If they don't come in around 400, I will get 8 years of gaming out of them, which is a good buy at 100 a year. Regards, Kevin.
That's a good point when you start stringing it out value-wise. Very good point. Kev, nice email. Like that.
Well done. Mr. Matthew, I believe we had a couple community members chime in with funny multiplayer stories.
We did. We had a few. Let me pull my head out of my ass here for just a moment, while I get back to what we wanted to do. Yeah, just keep talking. Just go with it.
All right, Mike, you have a community spotlight that Parsnip had sent in, but don't worry about it. We're going to put that in a post edit.
Wait.
It's going to look behind like the scenes it's all magic.
Yeah, it's all behind the scenes stuff, folks. I'm letting you know now what's going on.
Yeah.
So when you're, it's not really happening.
Don't, seriously, you're going to have to edit this out. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. All right, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready. Ask me now. Now I'm ready.
Chris, I heard we had some funny multiplayer stories. Should I try again now?
Okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready.
Chris, I heard we had some really funny multiplayer stories sent in for some of the listeners.
We had some right gut busters. First, the quick one on the Twitter from Mike Vesey, Interlock 27. He says, one time on Blops 2... I threw a grenade, but it bounced off my own dude's head and blew up in my face. Nice. How do you do that? Bounce a grenade off your own dude.
Them ones always make me laugh when you're trying to throw it up at a window and it just bounces off the wall and blows you up after you've cooked it.
But he bounced it off his own head. Like he was doing the wind-up and just kind of hit himself in the head with it. I don't know. I'm confused. I need to see the video on that. Maybe. So, going to the forum, Womble Mark III, of course, has lots of funny stories from the Halo 3 days. I may have been mistaken for being Mexican and French by you silly Americans in the lobby by my decidedly very Scottish accent. I must say I've never made that mistake, but what do you know? A favorite moment of fail of mine, but this is in-game, was in a CTF game, Capture the Flag, in Halo 3. Both me and my teammate were on base defense and doing a cracking job of it as well, I might add. During one particularly vicious nade-spamming attack, we both got taken out. They got our flag, but only as far as the ramp on our base. When me and my teammate had respawned, picked up our weapons, we saw this flag sitting at our door, and we both thought, yes, easy score. Then spent about a minute wondering why we couldn't pick it up until we realized it was our flag. I'm not sure why they died, but it's funny. Let's see. Spock says, this one time in Halo 4. So the assassination animations are sometimes outrageous. There's one that looks like your character is getting a pony ride from the victim. That led to some off-color remarks about riding someone else like a donkey. I guess you had to be there. Ask Hot Chutney or Amaranth. They know what I mean. Mwahahaha. Happy Mr. McChicken says, I laugh at everything. And COD, I always use a riot shield.
Wait, can I ask, is somebody killing a dog right now?
I think so. Okay. Sounds pretty bad.
Just double checking.
Yeah. It's that COD dog. They're recording the sounds for his death animation. You know that dog's going to die in the next.
Totally.
They're like, this is someone you're going to care about, which is game developer speak for this character will die.
Yes.
Anyway, Happy Mr. McChicken says, I laugh at everything. In COD, I always use the riot shield. The riot shield is just funny. Get it? Because it's a riot. Orty says, I joined my mate's Minecraft map, and while he was busy, I filled his house full of TNT and told him I made a doorbell. When he came to try it out, kaboom! I was crying out with laughter. That's kind of a dick move in Minecraft, isn't it?
No, but that's funny as hell.
I mean, I don't care who you are. That's funny, but that's kind of a dick move. Anyway, X-Bone, do you guys think it will affect the community as much as most of G4TE play Xbox, and now it's looking like most are switching to the PS4? Will this affect play dates and competitions? The answer to that question is yes. Steve-O-Matic says, back in the heyday of Call of Duty 4, headquarters was the mode of choice. It was a usual crew of myself, U8Z Full True Shot, and I think David the Alien. We were defending a captured headquarters on the crash map where the headquarters was in the four-story building adjacent to the crash helicopter. I know right where that is. Sure, why not? As we fought valiantly, I was defending the bottom floor on the dumpster side, but was soon the sole survivor. As True Shot berated the group from the grave per the norm, he shouted at me to get upstairs and defend the headquarters. From outside on the ground floor, I turned to defend the headquarters and tossed a grenade into the second floor as a preemptive strike. "That's a horrible throw," is what I remember hearing from True Shot. Unfortunately, it proved all too true, as my aim was too low and the grenade hit the railing and bounced back to me. I tried in vain to run up the stairs to avoid it, but alas, I cooked it too long and fell victim to my own blast. Not only was everyone spectating during my utter fail, the worst part of this was that my gamer tag was originally Emo Stunted, short for Emotionally Stunted, yes, thank you. Through the cackling and abuse, Emo Emo'd was quite prevalent. Any self-made from then on was known as pulling an emo. And Nick Nitrous rounds it out with, "In my very first online game in Modern Warfare 2, there was an English lad mouthing off with anti-American crap nonstop for the whole round. Uh-oh. In the next round, the lobby emptied of all players except me and this lad. We were then joined by an all-American clan who filled the lobby. I then had the joy of hearing him get the shit ripped out of him by the clan for the whole round. It was hilarious." Yeah, I say he got what he deserved.
Little punk.
You always get them. Those were our funny stories. Thank you all for with your tales.
Yes, and we look forward to hearing more.
Multiplayer hilarity. We'll take those anytime you got
them. I've got a good one.
It's an ongoing question.
I've got a good one.
Okay.
In Minecraft.
Rich has something to say?
Yeah.
Yes.
In Minecraft, I blocked all of Martin's doors up in his house with obsidian.
Again,
you
I believe
bastard.
I'm not at all familiar with Minecraft, but I believe that to be the mother of all dick moves.
You bastard, that was you.
Yeah.
You fucker, I blame John Mayer for
you did.
That.
I know you did for months.
Wow. Not only did you do the dick move, but then you completely let another person take the fall for you. Wow.
Remember the conversation we were just having about lies there?
Yep. Yeah, which, that's probably the best lie ever.
So sorry, John.
I can't even.
John sent me a message as well, saying, "It wasn't me. I'm promise it wasn't me. I know how dickish that is. I wouldn't do that." It's like, who would do that? What a dick!
All right. On that note, we're gonna transition into our happy jingle and talk events.
That's right, events.
Starsky's board, let's do this.
Immunity events.
And going on this week, Monday through Thursday, we got nothing. Friday Night Halo is happening 8 p.m. in the British time. Friday Night Forza is happening. And Saturday is the Forza 4 Movie Car Pan Championship starting at 9 p.m. in the British time. The Minecraft server is currently offline, possibly coming back online later. Call of Duty Black Ops 2 clan is always looking for a few good Space Marines. And, of course, the XCOM tournament is in wrapping up mode, although things have kind of slowed down there.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help when you have, like, the person that's leading the leaderboard say, "Oh, I'm going to be gone for a while, so just carry on without me."
No, dude,
can't really do that, dude.
Yeah, you can. I can't help it, man. I am in the middle of moving, you know? That whole moving thing
is selfish.
I know. Do you not understand? XCOM tournament comes first.
Yeah. The other problem is that my current match,
oh, your wife.
My current match that I need to play is with someone in Australia, and I just can't be bothered to get up at 4 a.m. Anyway.
No dedication either. No dedication.
No. None.
Yeah, this is what happens when you become top of the heap and, you know, you snub your nose at all the people below you.
The truth is that I've just gotten bored with trouncing all of you, and I'm trying to move on with my life.
I hate you.
Especially you, Greg. Let's see. Veteran, are you playing Gears of War 3 this week, Mike? Is that still true?
Correct. That is up today.
Absolutely true. Gears of War 3, 6 p.m. on Sunday. And the Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Friday night NASCAR, the game inside line with the Lousy at Gaming community. Happy birthday this week to Pilgrim, Heathen, Imp the Bro, Chickenfoot, Jamesy, Coda Merle. Happy birthday. And welcome this week to new members. Right. Trartar. Close enough. The Likely Lad and Van Man 68. I believe the Likely Lad and Van Man would like to remind you all to check in on the forums from time to time. Congratulations to our victory achievers this week. Jonesy for finishing Injustice Gods Among Us. Filthy for finishing Sleeping Dogs. John Mouse for finishing Dead Island Riptide and Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel. Flecky90 for finishing Borderlands 2 and Pirates Booty. Arr. Amorous89 for finishing StarCraft 2 and StarCraft 2 Heart of the Swarm. Bongo the Sane finished Metro Last Light. Murphy's Law finished Metro Last Light. John Mouse finished Metro Last Light. Apparently it's not a very long game. And Mark Davies finished Deadlight. Well done. Community Spotlight. Bam.
Hello, everybody. This is Parsnip Nose with another weekly Community Spotlight. This week, I'm going to do a group spotlight. Many of you might know already, after one whole year of playing Minecraft together, we've retired the Minecraft server. It's Xbox Live Gold ran out, and not too many people were using it anymore. So I would like to thank everybody who came along and built stuff on our variety of worlds over the course of the year. And I'm going to mention every single one of you, so bear with me, because there's 50 of you. Here we go. Data Cluster, Heathen, Rafinch, Skaldagora, Andy, 93285, Bagum, Best Dutch, Blue Baru, Bongo the Sane, Bubble and Squeak, Burial Worm, Chinny, Corzan, De Candy or De Chandy, De Saint, Duffstuff123, SLH, Raw Messiah, Gonzo, Chutney, Danger Russ, Ian W, Inf the Bro. My goodness, this is a long list. I'm halfway through, bear with me. Your name might come up in a minute. John Mouse, Kern, Lady Skullthrax, Little Weird, oh yes he is, Mark Annex, Metric Pizza, Audrex, Orty, me, PDM0376, PG Tips, Filthy, Ragdolly, Same Old Ground, Shinyverse, Skidmark, Skullthrax, Soup Dragon Dan, Subs, Sinclair, Dino, the JC Meister, almost there peeps, don't worry, don't tune out, Thupa, Thyderian, Tortoise Girl, Ranger, and Zodiac Lector. So every single one of you who came along and helped to build our little worlds, thank you. We had a great time, and between us, I think we came up with something really great. So, that's it from me. I apologize for the long list, but I really think everybody deserved a mention there. Okay, night-night. See you, everybody.
Some cool things going on in the Indie Writers Block as of late. One cool thing you can learn how to do is make some surf and turf skewers that are delicious. And one of our new contributors, Jason Johnson, has started an article series entitled Games That Defined This Generation. And where he's writing about some of the seminal experiences that you want to make sure you have before you retire your current gen console. So far, we're up to Dark Souls and the Mass Effect trilogy, with more to follow.
Yes. And also, it should be noted, Jason said he was willing to do contributions on our site as well. So OCNet, he's kind of posting up on both spots for the articles, but we've welcomed him with open arms, and potentially, assuming he gets his headset in order, he could be helping fill in during Mr. Matthews' absences down the road.
Ooh. Speaking of no dedication.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is this Teflon?
Yes, yes. Teflon 212.
Oh, cool. Nice one.
Yeah. All right, that leads us to kind of wrapping up the show. So iTunes reviews, please give us iTunes reviews if you're listening to us for the first time or you're listening to us for the 221st time and you haven't given us an iTunes review yet, give us one. We really would appreciate that. Check out the overseasconnection.net for other content beyond the podcast. We've got game trailers up there. We've got first 10 looks up there. We've got gaming grill articles up there. We've got games that defined a generation up there. So lots of stuff to check out. You can email us at ocpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oc_podcast. And depending on what time of the night, you're either getting Rich or myself responding to that. If you want to be part of the news quiz, all you have to do is tweet us with hashtag or pound sign, depending on where you live, OC News Quiz. Get that in there, and we will include you in the pot of names to come out and get selected. Now, that all said, let's do some shout-outs. Rich, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Mojo Interactive, because we didn't get a chance to thank them for letting us go on the show the other
week. How did that go?
It was good. Great. It was good, yeah. It was great.
Yeah, good laugh. Lots of fun.
Good laugh. So
tell them thanks. Why I couldn't make it, or did you forget?
We did.
Did they not give a shit?
No, they did. No. They knew about the goats. So that's all.
The goats.
Rushed out. Yeah, goat porn. Yeah. Oh. Goat porn. Yeah.
We told them that Chris also didn't want to make it because he really didn't know them, and he didn't care about them.
Yeah.
We told them the truth.
Yeah. They were understanding. That's fine.
You should tell them that I hate strangers, because I do hate strangers.
Yeah.
Stranger danger.
Bastards.
Go on, Rich. Go on.
Yeah. So, and then also, I'm going to shout out Deathbell 85 and IP. I told them, I put a tweet out about grabbing that Sony ID, and they thought that was a great idea, because they don't know where they're going yet. So, why not? Get all the bases covered. Tuscan 77, because he jumped on board, because he's consistently leading me on and trying to get me to do the Sony thing. And potentially I might do the PS3 thing. Definitely for starters anyway. And I'm going to shout out Alex Shaw, who's the guy that does Gonzo Planet podcasts, that are both movie based and for gaming. I listened to the panel type one that they did, which was for BioShock Infinite, and they've done it in two parts, and it is really an excellent listen. I mean, I know I shouted out the video that they had up on their site that somebody totally separate from themselves had allowed them to post on the site, but I don't know if that inspired him to do this, but he does a really good two-part breakdown of it. And it is well worth listening to. It goes into all the characters and everything and the backstory. And he puts the production time in as well of putting the audio in, which I think is quite important when you're doing these breakdown ones. I know we do a lot of ones that are spoiler cast, but this just takes it a step further because it's like a nice detailed look at it all. So if anybody fancies checking that out, it's well worth it. Steffi Business and Pete Red Dog and Dan Knapman for being the PC Massive on the Twitter this week. You're getting all these factions spewing up about next gen and what to do and everything. So that's the PC Massive. And actually, Steffi Business was to do with Gonzo Planet. So shout out to him. PG Tip 77, Teflon 212, just been talking about, and Gamox 14, basically for podcast banter. So I was on a bit of a, I was tiling a bathroom this week. So I've done like 3 12-hour shifts stripping out a bathroom and getting it re-plasterboarded and tiling it. So I've just fucking been listening to shitloads of podcasts, but I was daisy chaining off them. So Gonzo Planet, we're talking about Kane and Rince. So then I started going on to Kane and Rince, and I was tweeting you guys about the XCOM, and then everybody else started spouting in saying, if you like that one, then you need to try this one. And PG Tip 77, which was so bizarre. Kane and Rince were literally plugging a Dark Souls podcast at the end of their XCOM one. And he was literally tweeting it at the same time, and it was just freaked me out. But anyway, he put me on to Bonfire Chat. And if anybody says that Dark Souls hasn't got a story to it, listen to this podcast.
Still trying.
I'm bloody still trying, definitely. It's so good. So good. If you like Dark Souls and you've not listened to it, go into it. And you can pick it. You can cherry pick this one as well, because they break it down into the areas. The great thing about this one is, as well, it gives you like a good running order for which levels to play through, because it's open world, which ones to go through first. And it tells you all about fat rolling. You ever heard of
fat rolling? I don't know why he's laughing.
Rich.
Never know anything about fat rolling.
Rich, breathe. Breathe. I want to just point out that Greg said short shout-outs. Quick shout-outs.
Yeah, quick shout-out.
Oh, I love you, Rich. You're the best. You are going to sing Dark Souls praise till you probably pass away.
Yeah. I'm going to get back on it as well. I'm going to be playing it, so I'll be talking about it again next week. So tune in.
Yeah.
Mike.
I'll shout out the video that I just made. I don't know. brilliant. I'm trying to think. How do you get to my channel? I don't really know. But yeah, this video that exists. Chinny 1985, I think it is. But there's a one in the Chinny and stuff. I don't know. I couldn't get the name. But on YouTube, and that's me, I think. I've just uploaded a new video. If you want to see what I got up to in Italy, there's a Mario and a Luigi in it. That's gaming related, right? And shout out to CPM. Who's going to go next? Bam.
Well done, Michael. Well done. I'm going to shout out David the Alien, who's our Facebook fan of the week. I'm going to shout out Jason Johnson for his excellent article series that he started, and hopefully I will be able to contribute to. I'm going to shout out Spauk, because Spauk did something very uncharacteristic of himself this week and provided me very useful advice in the response to a thread. So thank you, Spauk. And I'm going to shout out the Player One podcast, because their podcast is rather lengthy. It got me through most of my workday today, and I had no idea what the hell they were talking about most of the time, but I was still laughing. So well done, gentlemen, indeed.
I love Mormon Rage, Mick. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
Sweet.
You good?
I'm done. Yeah. Who hasn't gone?
All right. That would be me.
Go, Greg.
Yeah, I want to shout out to Wired Game Life Podcast. I had no idea it even existed, and I went and gave it a listen, and quite impressed. It's a good podcast. A shout out to Mike. Congratulations on that special announcement that hasn't really come forward yet. But, you know, Venice was awesome. I'm sure you enjoyed it.
Are you talking about proposing again? Because I didn't propose.
And on that note, we're done. We're out of here, guys.
What about the satanic goat wedding? Did that happen?
No.
Bye-bye.
She's still sharp as a tack. Probably smarter than I am. Which isn't saying a whole lot, but more,
you know,
more mentally acute, I should say.
More mentally acute. It's a very PC kind of.
Well, I am a PC gamer.
Nah, you are a PC gamer. So. All podcast long, Chris?
Yes. Be here all week.
Well, the whole Memorial Day weekend thing throws me off. It feels like Monday.
It's because you didn't take time out yesterday to reflect.
No, I did. For like a minute.
Young kids these days, no respect.
And not only was that horrible, it was like equally offensive me yawning through the comment of I took time to reflect.
I will stab you.
Hey, at least I put up the nice tweet saying, you know, hey, thank you for your service. Come on, I showed some love.
I will confess that I didn't see your tweet. I love that autocorrect automatically changes lowercase star, lowercase trek to capital Star Trek.
Do you need to send me anything, Greg?
Sending all his love to you.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was afraid, and I still don't know if it completely synced up, because somehow our audio recording and the conferences we watched were actually slightly shorter than the Xbox conference off of Xbox Live.
It sounded fun to me. I didn't notice anything like that.
Good.
It was funny how like Primrose was like a minute behind.
Oh, God, that was doing my head in.
It was like, oh, wow. That's amazing. What? What's amazing?
Just an hour of spoilers.
Actually, yes, because we live in a condo. Yeah, we live in a condo, third story, and Colin still isn't walking on his own.
Yeah.
So as the little man gets bigger and bigger,
yeah, bro,
I either have to continue going to the gym for the rest of my life, or he needs to learn to walk.
No, dude, are you familiar with the story of Theseus?
No.
Theseus was one of the Greek demigods, I believe. And he, from the time he was a lad, he had a cow. Not like Bart Simpson had a cow, like flipped out, but like he owned a cow. It was a calf, right?
Right.
And so every day he picked up the calf. And so as the calf got larger, he progressively got stronger. So by his adulthood, he was insanely strong from lifting this cow every day.
I like where that's going.
Not that I'm comparing Colin in any way to a cow. I'm just saying as he gets bigger, you are going to get stronger.
I like the comparison of me and Theseus. That works.
That was unintentional.
Oh.
That one doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count? Of course it counts. People were calling him out, being like, they don't believe it. I mean, you had Jonathan Blow.
It counts not.
Going on Twitter saying, call him out, I don't believe it, blah, blah, blah. Jonathan Blow's an ass, by the way.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I'm still calling it.
You're still calling it?
I don't know what I'm calling it, but I'm calling it. What?
What?
What? Yeah. Someone needs to make that into a sound clip.
All right, let's do this.
Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, I just had to go for a quick day off because I won the quiz.
Does that mean you had to poop?
No.
J-offer.
No. J-offer rank. Now work it out.
Yeah, I'm not. The problem is I have no idea who that is.
Choke the chicken.
I know what you're talking about.
Cockney rhymes, blank, dry off a rank, wank.
Yeah, I get that.
Rank the film company. Bong. Big gong.
Yeah, a little bit.
We need to wrap this up quick. Fast shout outs. And you just go into this diatribe. And I'm like, did I mention quick? You kept going. I'm just like, I'm speechless. And then you went out to Dark Souls, and I just lost it.
Oh, yeah. You should always be worried if Dark Souls comes up.
Oh, you made me cry. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts. Similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.